Very excited about our next guest. Why don't we preface it before we bring him on the line with a dramatic reading of one of his most recent emails. Here's Psycho Mike reading the words of our dear friend, Doto.
Bean, on phone better? What are we going talk about? Anything bad? Hope not. Nagave. If so, may not want, not want on air. I got laid, man. Doe.
Wow. There's no punctuation whatsoever.
No.
I love Doe so much, and he has been known on this program as the International Man of Mystery. But for somebody like Kevin Smith, who maybe hasn't heard him before, and Kevin Smith is co-hosting with us this week, how do you describe Doe, Kevin? What do you say about him in just a few words for folks who haven't heard him before? He's the International Man of Mystery.
His dad travels for business, and he travels a lot. He goes to Korea and China all the time, and we can rarely get him on the phone. You just have to listen to him, I think, is probably the best way. Hey, Doe.
You'll fall in love like we have.
Hey, Doto.
Hey, Bean. How you doing, Kevin?
Kevin, I'm good. How are you?
Bean, so far I haven't broken any law, so hopefully I'm not going to be arrested, Kevin Bean.
Well, if you haven't broken any laws, you're probably not going to be arrested. You're going to be fine. Hey, are you familiar with our friend Kevin Smith, who's co-hosting with us this week? Do you know the popular actor, director, and writer Kevin Smith?
You know what? To be honest, I haven't done my research on it, Bean.
Haven't done your research? It's okay. You don't have to do research.
Fair is fair.
That's fine.
I don't know him. He doesn't know me.
I'm sorry to interrupt, guys, but Doto, you said you didn't break any laws, but I have in writing.
Yeah, this was in Hong Kong a couple months ago, Mike. Look, I know what I did was dumb. I was drunk. I didn't think right.
What did you do, Doto?
I wasn't even mentioning that. You're going on a whole different tangent. I was talking about in writing how you said that you were going to kill my family and Lightning's family by 2012.
Well, that was different, though.
Look, I was just joking around.
Okay.
Yeah. Just joking around.
That's a good joke.
Because that's a funny joke. What happened in Hong Kong 2 months ago, Doe?
You know, I was drunk. I didn't know what I was thinking. And someone was screwing around with me. And I would just I lost my temper. I just lost my cool, man.
And what happened?
And what'd you do?
I used pepper spray.
You pepper sprayed somebody.
Look, nobody got hurt, Kevin Bean. I was just...
It was just a temporary stinging, that's
blindness?
All.
Blindness?
No.
I've been pepper sprayed. It's not that big a deal. It hurts, but you're all right.
Wait, is your name really Kevin Bean? I've been calling you the wrong name all this time.
No, I'm Kevin. This
one,
is Bean.
No, but it's all one word?
It is to Doto.
All right, listen, Doe, since we so rarely get you on the air, we have a lot of ground that we need to cover. Tell us about this email where you said, I meet a Russian lady, Swiss lady, went out for a few drinks and buffet in Nam in Hong Kong. One of their husband is ex-Russian mafia.
I was at the resort. I met a Russian lady. We went out for some drinks. I got to know her, and she was working for an oil company. Can I tell you how I met her, guys?
Please.
Sure.
When I was at the buffet, I was staying at the Seahorse Hotel, right, Kevin Bean? And then I was eating the dinner buffet, lobster, man, steak, and then I went up to her and I introduced myself.
You love your buffets. I know that.
I told her who I am. I introduced myself, and she told me what she does, and I asked her, I said, Natasha, would you like to, maybe get a cup of coffee, maybe next day, maybe in the morning.
Nicely done. Look at you.
She works in the oil company, man.
The oil company?
Oil.
And you said that she's Russian lady, Swiss lady, meaning that she's some of each?
She's Russian, and then there's another lady I met in Hong Kong. She's a Swiss lady. I met her when I was in Stanley Market. I was looking for sunglasses.
So you're basically, you just go around and collect women from different countries.
It's pretty much by luck, you know, Bean? Sometimes you don't know what life is like, a box of chocolate, right, Bean?
That's what I understand. That is actually very true and very timely. So one of their ex-husbands is Russian mafia. Does that concern you at all, Doe?
Well, to be honest, I'm going to be a little bit worried about that, Bean.
Did you...
Why would I be dumb not to worry about it? Because I don't want to die, Bean.
Do you know for a fact that her husband is Russian mafia?
That's what she told me, so I don't know if she's telling me the truth. Okay. No, I guess I got to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Did she tell you this before? Did you have sex with her?
No, I didn't.
Okay, then what are you worried about?
We went out to walk, and we just had a cup of coffee, and she took me into her hotel room, Bean.
Yes.
And then what happened then?
And then the pepper spray flowed.
You went
it was
in the jacuzzi?
What?
All right.
In the jacuzzi with her? Are you kidding me? That's great.
Yeah.
And then?
And then we just talked, and then I told her I love Steven Seagal, and I just love the karate movies.
Okay.
That's Doto's opening line for a woman, is he loves Steven Seagal and all of his movies.
Yeah, because on YouTube, Mike, I keep watching those movies, man.
Yeah, right. That's good.
Why didn't you close that deal if you're in her hotel room in a jacuzzi? Why couldn't you make that happen, Doe?
Yeah, because when I was there, man, my old man was walking around, so I don't want to do anything dumb, Bean, Kevin.
Well,
your old man was in the room with you guys?
The old man was walking around... The old man was walking around the aisle, so I didn't want to make a scene. You know,
the aisle.
No, but when you were in the jacuzzi, we're talking about.
Were you was in this jacuzzi at a Home Depot?
Nope, it wasn't a Home Depot. It was in a hotel.
Oh, is it outside jacuzzi?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about her room.
Oh, yeah, outside jacuzzi. Okay. All right. So no action there. Is she someone you might see again the next time you travel to that part of the world?
Why not, Bean? Hey, man, this world, the world's very global. I said, what the heck, right, Bean?
The world is global.
What the heck, right?
That is true.
Did you bang the Swiss lady? Did you bang the Swiss lady, though?
Did I?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, you said in one of your emails, "Hey man, I got laid." Who was that?
To be honest, I did school with her, Bean.
With who?
What?
Swiss lady.
The Swiss lady.
Oh, the Swiss lady. So you did have sex with the Swiss lady?
Yeah.
Well, why would you say no when I originally asked you?
What?
I'm sorry, I was confused, Bean.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
So you did or you did not have sex with the Swiss lady?
I did.
Okay. All right.
Oh, she's a very lucky woman. Now, what about, final point here, Doto, and you're very kind to be on the air with us because we've missed you. What about the email that you sent me that said this in its entirety? Bean, my father think maybe a black woman would be good for me, Doe. Because what's that all about?
Can I tell you what I say? Because in the past, my parents was they were uncomfortable. Now that they're okay. So my, because since I like to talk and I'm pretty aggressive, and then a lot of Chinese lady are pretty, Asian lady are pretty passive, so they don't like to talk as much. So the old man said, "Dude, maybe a black lady might be good for you, man. Maybe your personality or her personality could match."
Oh, okay. Because they never shut up, right?
Yeah. Hey, come on, what do you mean? How do you know?
Well, I'm saying the same thing your father said, which is black women love to talk. That sounds perfect for somebody like you.
Maybe that could be another option to look into.
Are you attracted to black women?
Maybe,
because that's Bean's favorite.
That's irrelevant, Bean.
All right.
Doto.
Seems relevant, but all right.
Doto, it's Mike. If the Kevin and Bean Show was willing to line up some type of Doto's black woman dating game, would you be interested in that?
I'll consider that, Mike.
So you'd come in studio and we could do that? We can bring in three or four beautiful women for you and you could pick the one you like?
I'll consider that, Mike.
All right. Before we say goodbye, Kevin Smith, your first exposure to the International Man of Mystery. Any questions for Doto before we let him go?
Yeah, I like to. What, Kevin?
Kevin Smith, any questions for Doto before we go?
Yeah, the Swiss Miss. I want to know more about her.
You know what? She's not in the States now, but she's pretty nice. She's working in a restaurant in Hong Kong, and I met her in Stanley Market, and she lives in Hong Kong for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Was she pretty?
She's on a scale from 1 to 5. She's about a 6.
On a scale of 1 to 5, she's a 6.
Is she 5'8 or 5'9?
Dark hair?
5'7.
How come it can't be a scale of 1 to 10 if she's a 6? I'm just saying.
Because if the scale is to 10 and she's a 6,
she's a 12.
She's not that great.
Yeah, that's right.
But
right,
if it's a scale of 5 and she's 6, it's amazing.
All right. Doto, did you, I hate to ask, but we have to be careful these days. Did you use protection with the Swiss Miss?
Look, I'm not stupid, Kevin Bean. Of course I did. Why would I not use it?
Of course you would. We know that's the answer.
All right, listen, we're going to leave it there for now. Doto, we're very, very happy to have caught up with you. We'd like to do it again soon, and we're going to get back to you about Mike's idea of maybe hooking you up with a fine ebony sister, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Bean.
Okay, Doto, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thanks, Bean.
You're the best.
Okay, bye-bye, Doe.
I love him.
I think it's good that he used protection. I don't think you want to pass those jeans on.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
And here at the holidays or anytime all year long, one of our favorite people in the world to talk to is LaQuisha.
Hey, everybody. You know how we have LaQuisha on our show and she likes to review the reality TV shows?
Sure.
Well, we've got her on the line right now, and she's ready to review a Christmas classic. Hello, LaQuisha.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. Merry Christmas.
To you, too.
Happy Kwanzaa to you, LaQuisha.
I'm not celebrating no Kwanzaa.
I thought that was celebrating Christmas. Okay.
All right. My bad. I'm sorry.
I was flipping around the TV, cause, as I want to do, you know, because I love watching the television.
You do.
And I came across that show, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. You know that little show?
Yeah, it's a classic. They show it every year.
Yeah, a little cartoon show.
Right.
So I'm watching it for the first time in a long time, and I said, damn, there's some things wrong with this show.
That's a perfect Christmas show. They show it every year. What could be wrong with it?
No, it isn't. I'll tell you something. All the little who's down in Whoville, they are celebrating Christmas and getting ready and stuff. And the one person who doesn't want Christmas to come is the Grinch, right?
Right.
That's right.
Every who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not.
Mm-hmm. You know why the Grinch is living outside the city limits?
Yeah, but he doesn't like people.
No, because he's the only colored person in the whole neighborhood.
Oh, LaQuisha, what are you talking about?
All the little who's are all pink and fuzzy and whatnot, and the Grinch, he's got some color. He's green, so he can't live with everybody else. They put him in the slums.
Oh, LaQuisha.
Oh, he's got to be the bad one because he's colored. That's why.
No one is saying that, LaQuisha. That's
exactly
crazy.
That's what they're saying.
Oh, you're missing the whole point.
I think you're missing the whole point. Mm-hmm. And then the Grinch don't like Christmas because of all the presents and whatnot that the Who's play with.
Right.
And they make a lot of noise and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Like this.
And they play noisy games like Zuzivakaze.
What the hell is that, Zuzivakaze?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know what that
is. What the hell he talking about?
Well, it's based on the popular Dr. Seuss children's book, and he was kind of famous for just making up crazy words that sounded funny. That's all that's it.
Like a job to have for a grown man making up words? Shut up, Dr. Seuss. Well, anyway, he goes and takes all the toys and whatnot from the Who's, right?
Right.
He breaks into their homes and steals their Christmas. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a secret subliminal racist message.
Oh, come on, LaQuisha.
Oh, the colored Who goes into people's homes and steal their gifts.
That is not what it's about at all. You're missing the whole point.
Well, it turns out, even though they have no toys to play with and no food and whatnot, the people of Whoville still happy about Christmas and stuff. And the Grinch, he changes his mind and learns the real meaning of Christmas.
That's right. That's right, LaQuisha. That's a beautiful message that the spirit of Christmas is that it's not about the presents you get. It's about the being together with your friends and family for the holiday.
Yeah, and this is what happens to him when he discovers that.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Oh, like that's a good thing?
His heart grew bigger.
I had a cousin who had an enlarged heart. My cousin, Kliniqua, and she had to go to hospital because her heart got enlarged.
No, but his heart was so tiny to begin with.
That's a lie to say your heart gets big, that's a good thing for Christmas, because she happened to her in the holidays,
LaQuisha,
and she missed out on all the holidays being in a hospital.
LaQuisha, who hurt you?
I'm just saying this show is not right for Christmas time. And then the Grinch, who is colored again, if I remind you, he learns a special lesson. They invite him to come and sit down and carve the rare Who beast or whatever they're cooking, and everybody has a good time. Mm-hmm. Like he steals their stuff, and they're just going to welcome him on in. Oh, sit down. Have yourself a meal. Try that in my neighborhood. You get cut.
Well, no one wants that.
No, but it's the spirit of Christmas. They're saying, we understand what you're going through. You understand what we're going through. Let's all get together and hold hands and have a meal.
Yeah, I know. That's the lesson we're all supposed to
learn. Right.
And here's the little lesson everyone gets told at the end of the show.
Christmas Day is in our grasp, so long as we have hands to clasp. Christmas Day will always be just as long as we have we. Welcome Christmas while we stand heart to heart and hand in hand.
Aw. Aw.
I gotta go. I got something in my eye.
Aw, see?
Oh, LaQuisha.
I gotta go now. I gotta get off the phone.
Merry Christmas, LaQuisha. Oh. This is Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde. Anyone use the Gmail? I know it's very popular with a lot of people. A lot of people like the Google Mail. Do you use that at all, Kevin?
Sure.
Oh, that's fantastic. Then perhaps you are aware of the new test phase feature that they have in the beta mode on the Gmail right now that is called Mail Goggles.
Oh, I have seen about this. I have not used it, no.
Mail goggles is a play on the phrase beer goggles, which means that basically you may not be operating at full mental capacity after you've had a few, like on Friday and Saturday nights, and you get home and then you start thinking about that girl that you have a crush on and maybe you should send her an email, and then the next day you wake up and go, oh my God, what did I do?
Right.
Well, what they've done with the mail goggles is they give you math problems. If this is activated, when you sign on to use your email, it gives you – here's an example of some of the math problems that it has. It's that time of day. Gmail aims to help you in many ways. Are you sure you want to send this email? Answer some simple math questions to verify. 723 minus 131 equals, for instance. You have to
no
figure
kidding.
That out before you can use your email program.
What if you can't do that when you're not drunk?
Well,
you're never emailing.
That's right. 45 divided by 5 is, 11 times 8 is, 10 times 10 is. And then it has a reflexes meter that shows you how fast you should be answering these questions and then how fast you are indeed. And if you fail, then you don't get to send email.
What?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
So you, can you type the email and it just won't send it unless it gets the okay from the math problem?
That is absolutely what it does. And it's funny that Kevin is pretending that he doesn't know how it works because, Kevin, the K-Rock microphones have been there. And we know for a fact that you've already tried to use the mail goggles feature on Google and that it hasn't worked out that well for you late at night.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Answer questions before you can write. Okay. How much is 2 and 2? 22. Oh, come on! That's so obvious, easy! I have to write bean. Oh, alright. How do you divide 20 apples among 10 people? You make applesauce. Everybody gets to eat of them. Then. Oh, come on! Stupid! Stupid computer questions. How many innocent people are in jail if one man is guilty? Now all of them are guilty! All of them should be put in the guilty jar and never with the come lid off. I need the right bean. How many Ducks fans are long time them? All them? Come on, Google! I have to write Bean and tell him I love him.
I like this feature. It prevents me from getting those emails.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we have some highlights of Jimmy Kimmel's show last night. And I don't know if it's just because I'm biased, because he's a good friend and I find him very funny. But that special, to me, was fantastic. And I'm so glad Barbara Walters didn't do it. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a Barbara Walters thing. It was just him parodying her. And it was great.
Yeah, it was terrific, and you really wish he'd hosted the Emmys when you see his special versus what they ended up putting on, that's for sure. About an hour from right now, a little less, we got a new Killers song for you, one of our favorite bands here at K-Rock. The song's called Human. We'll be playing that one for you. And all this week, K-Rock is putting you on a party plane to Las Vegas to go see the Killers in concert. Every day at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 7 p.m., you win a trip to Vegas to see the Killers. They're only doing three shows, by the way, around the country for the launch of this new record. And Vegas, of course, is the band's hometown, so we'll have that for you. The new song and your chance to go see him in Las Vegas next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right, let's talk about white pants. People are learning slowly, but it does seem like it's like the word is getting out.
Yes, definitely.
And we've been talking about it for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years maybe?
Two, 3 years?
We were in Big Bear, and we found out that girls who wear white pants are advertising that they enjoy, if a person were to show up at their house, if that person were to enter through the back door, that would be good with them.
Right.
Yeah. That's what they're advertising. And people seem to be, I don't know, I feel like we're some of the only ones talking about it.
Yeah, it's not like it's widely disseminated information. It mostly, if people have heard about it, they've heard about it from this show or from people who have heard about it from this show. But I will tell you, the downside of this has been now you run into people wearing white pants that you wish you'd never heard this information.
Yeah.
It has ruined most senior citizens that you see on the street.
Oh, they were ruined before this ever came along. Let's be honest. So, Psycho Mike, tell us about your heading out to the streets to get some interviews.
Well, that's basically what I did. I went to the streets to talk to the people and see what they thought about the theory about white pants and if they were even aware of what it meant. So, here you go.
Do you know what it means when a girl wears white pants?
It means she likes stuff with her butt, I think.
Yeah.
Every one of my ex-girlfriends.
What does it mean about all your ex-girlfriends?
Oh, they love it.
Yeah. You know what it means when a girl wears white pants?
Yes, I do.
What does it mean?
See, she takes it up the ass, right?
That sounds good to me.
Do you own a pair of white pants?
I sure do, and I wear them every day.
Girl in the white pants, she's always, she looks at me a little bit different. So there's definitely something to that.
Oh, and sex, and that's all.
Yeah, lots of old ladies wear white pants.
What's the message you get when you see a woman in white trousers?
They like it in the
Thank you, sir.
White pants, you're offering up your backside.
Do you know what it means when a girl wears a white pants?
I have no idea. No, I have no clue.
It means they like it up the
Shut up! Ew!
White pants! White pants! White pants!
Woo!
Yeah!
really inappropriate, and you're kind of ruining my night. But
I apologize.
It's like a bullseye drawn on your brown eye.
I've always liked girls that wear white pants. Excuse me.
Have you found that sex considerably drops after Labor Day?
Not with the right girl.
Back door! Back door! Back door!
Does your wife often wear white pants?
As much as she can.
And on the time gauges when she wears the white pants, does she allow you to play in the mud?
All the time.
I actually do like white pants, yeah.
Do you know what it means when you wear those white pants?
I do. I sure do, yeah.
What does it mean?
That I get f***ed in the ass randomly.
Yes, it does.
I have white shorts.
What does white shorts mean?
Well, I think you can wear white shorts after Labor Day.
So you just wear white shorts after Labor Day to keep f***ing sex alive?
Exactly.
All throughout the winter?
That's right. You got to stay warm.
Nicely done.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. There's your next 60 minutes correspondent, Psycho Mike, ladies and gentlemen.
But she's right. You got to keep warm. That's important during the winter months.
Sure.
That is the one thing we've learned. Look, if you want to keep it going after Labor Day,
sure.
Switch to shorts.
Good morning, Ralph. What do you got going on?
Why do you hate me?
Why do we hate you?
What are you talking about?
It's always funny to hear your hatred for these bad movies. That's
you guys
why.
Keep giving me this assignment of watching the worst movies ever made.
You're the movie
I have
guy.
To come in and give a book report on them.
How long have you had Fireproof? How long have you had it in your possession, but hadn't gone through it yet?
I've been holding onto this for about 3 weeks. This one I've been scared of. This was like Mystery Science Theater for me. I was just kind of putting it off as long as possible.
Now, wasn't Fireproof a movie that came out a few months ago that shockingly was near the top of the box office charts for a few weeks, and none of us had ever heard it? We didn't know what it was. We didn't know who was in it. It was just like a mystery to us, right?
But, you know, I'll have you know, it was the number one inspirational movie in America.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Oh.
But that's what it says on the cover of the DVD box here.
Okay.
Well, it did. It made true. A lot of money. It was in the top 10 for a while.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that Fireproof is made by a company called Sherwood Films.
Okay.
And what they do is...
bad movies?
Yeah, but it's all Christian.
Yeah.
Christian movies.
Oh, it's a there's Christian a market theme. For that.
Yes. And Kirk Cameron stars in all of them. All of their movies, I think.
Is it his company or something?
I think he has something to do with it. And Kirk Cameron, for those of you who don't remember, played Mike Seaver on the old Growing Pains TV sitcom.
Right.
And he left that show and found Jesus. And he and his wife, Chelsea Noble, are holy rollers. And all he does now is make God movies. Makes Christian movies.
And this one is called Fireproof, and it's time for Ralph's Video Vault.
I like to call movies like this Christian porn because if you take a porn movie with all the acting and writing talent therein,
right,
and then you take out all the sex, and instead of the sex scenes, you put in scenes people talking about how you need to take Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior.
That's what it
same
is.
Same movie. Mm. Same exact movie.
Wow.
The one thing this movie proves, Fireproof proves, is that Christians can't act.
Oh.
The cast of this movie looks like someone looked around a church and said, hey, you guys want to make a movie? I got a camera. Okay, you play the dad. You play Captain Caleb Holt, the firefighter. That's who Kirk Cameron plays in this movie. He is the captain of a firefighting squad.
Okay.
And he knows a lot about firefighting, saves a lot of lives, but he's got some problems at home in his marriage.
Mm.
And here is when we first meet Captain Caleb Holt. He is talking to one
sounds like he should be on Fastlane.
Talking to one of his firemen. And I think that they're doing this to show us that little Mike Seaver is all grown up now. He's a man, and he's a fire captain.
Here we go.
This ain't no gang. You playing with people's lives.
Come on, man.
Eric, he's got a right to be upset with you. You left him in a dangerous spot and tried to be a hero.
The captain, I thought I heard someone calling for help.
It was coming from outside the building.
But it was so dark. I mean, I couldn't see anything.
That's why you stay with your partner. He had no choice but to assume that something happened to you and you needed his help. You never leave your partner, especially in a fire.
You never leave your partner.
Man.
He has every right to be angry with you.
I know. That's what he sounded like.
I am the captain of this firehouse.
I am outraged.
I am very upset with you and the fact that you two guys who are under me, because I am the chief, you guys are fighting. And you never leave your partner.
Oh, I never leave your partner. Could this have something to, some sort of oblique message about marriage? Could that be?
Don't
could
leave
it be?
Your partner.
Well, it turns out that Caleb Holt has problems at home.
Uh-oh.
He and his wife are constantly fighting. Their marriage is on the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is a Christian movie, the main cause is Caleb Holt keeps looking at porn on the internet.
Oh, really?
How dare he?
Oh, man. Oh, you mean like that's the downfall?
Insult the covenant of marriage by looking at naked women on the internet, you pornographer, you Satan worshiper, you. Well, that just leads to all kinds of arguments at home. And his poor wife, she feels humiliated by the fact that he not only is looking for porn on the internet,
right,
but he's saving up to buy himself a boat.
What?
She's very angry about that. I never quite understood why during the course of the film. But here is just one of the many fights we see in the first half of this film.
You know what? If looking at that trash is how you get fulfilled, that's fine, but I will not compete with it.
Well, I sure don't get it from you.
And you won't, because you care more about saving for your stupid boat and pleasing yourself than you ever did about me.
Shut up! I'm sick of you! You disrespectful, ungrateful, selfish woman!
Wow.
Yeah.
He's acting his ass off. Wow.
Well, you can't call her a bitch because you can't use that kind of language in this movie. You have to call her a selfish woman.
They try to write around the fact that he's watching porn. It's like, that trash that you watch on the internet that we won't say what it is, but I know you are looking at bad things and you pleasure yourself when you think about it. You are an ungrateful, selfish woman! You harlot! As Delilah was to Samson, you are to me, thou art woman.
You're listening to Ralph's Video Vault. Fireproof is the name of the movie.
All right. How fat did his wife get, Ralph? I don't know. Who's the actress who's played his wife, and how fat is she?
Erin Bethea is her name. And apparently her only other credit is another one of these inspirational movies as well. So there's a stock company they seem to pull from. I can just see the director saying, okay, Kirk, you're really angry now, so just scream. Just scream till your voice breaks. Just really get loud here. Well, he's at his wit's end. They're heading for divorce. She's going to file papers because, he looks at that trash on the internet and he's saving for a boat.
And he wants a boat.
Yeah. So he's got to go to his dad for advice. And dad has a plan.
I'm going to send you something in the mail.
What is it?
It's what saved our marriage.
Dad, if this is a religious thing, I'd rather you didn't.
Look at it as a gift from your father.
Ooh, a gift from your father.
Yes,
could that have a double meaning?
Interesting.
And what dad sends him in the mail is something called the love dare.
Why doesn't he just hand it to him?
Because
he's right there.
To him.
Why does he
because
have to mail it?
The Lord works in mysterious ways, Kevin.
All right.
And the love dare is a book that has 40 different things that you must do for 40 days. 40 days? 40 nights?
Right.
Significance, okay.
And you have to do these, and they're all based on verses from the Bible. Like Luke 13:19 says, thou shalt not raise your voice to thine wife when looking at internet porn or something.
Really?
And so he's got to, it's all based, one a day, he's got to do these things for his wife.
Okay.
And if he follows through on this, not only will Jesus come into his heart, but he will be able to save his marriage. You see, that's the plan.
Okay.
And, I'm not interested in your crazy religious stuff, Dad.
I'd rather do that. You did not do that.
I am secular. I am bad.
I want a boat.
But he begrudgingly, he's willing to do anything. So he begrudgingly starts the love dare.
Okay.
And he gets support from his buddy, Michael, who's also a fireman in the firehouse, who is also born again. And he gives him some advice as well.
Caleb, when two people get married, it's for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer. In sickness,
oh, dear God.
And in health.
I know that. But marriages aren't fireproof. Sometimes you get burned.
Fireproof doesn't mean that a fire will never come, but that when it comes, you'll be able to withstand it.
That's right.
Wow.
Fireproof.
He's a hell of an actor, too, by the way, Ralph.
Everyone in this movie. It is so bad.
They are really acting.
I thought this movie would never end. I was watching. I was like, this is killing me. This is the worst ever. Just when I thought it was over, it kept going and going and going.
But this isn't worse than like Bait Shop and those. What is it?
I owe such an apology to Bill Engvall after watching this film.
Because Bait Shop was terrible, too.
But at least he's some semblance of a performer. He cobbles together something that appears to be performance-like.
Yeah.
There's none of that in this film. Well, he keeps doing the dares. He keeps doing the thing day after day. He does some biblically referenced homage to his wife and his marriage. But she's not having it. She doesn't. She's out. She doesn't appreciate it. She doesn't care about it. She's not responding. And so Caleb has to go back to his dad and say, Dad, it's just not working. You know, I love her, and I'm doing all these things, but she's not giving me any appreciation. And he said, well, it's because you haven't taken God in your heart. God gives the ultimate example of how to love. And just when you need your dad's advice, when you need a comforting shoulder to cry on, when you need a dad to put his arm around you and say things are going to be okay, here's the advice that dad offers up.
Son, God loves you even though you don't deserve it.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks, I appreciate that.
And I'm going to mail you something else.
Thanks for making me feel good about myself.
Go home and wait by the mailbox.
You're a porn-loving son of a bitch.
You're a piece of crap, son.
You want a boat.
Can we squeeze in Bob from Hollywood really quickly? Because he had a run-in with Kirk Cameron.
Oh, did he?
Bob?
What's going on, guys?
Kirk Cameron came to your fire station?
Oh, my God. I can't believe he did this to us.
To do some research, right?
Yeah, he did. He asked us a whole bunch of questions.
Did he try to give you any literature?
No, he was actually really cool. He was just asking us a bunch of questions like, hey, how's it with your wife and everything? And I'm like, hey, she's a pain in the ass.
Thank God I have porn to get me through it.
Did he say I'm going to mail you something?
His dad's going to mail you something, Bob.
Bob, did you go see the movie knowing that he had done the research at your fire station?
Oh, I'm hearing about it freaking right now.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Well, it's available on DVD now if you're interested, Bob.
You can pick it up, Bob. Thank you for the call. That's awesome.
So Caleb decides he has to do this. He has to give his heart over to Jesus or else this isn't going to work. And so he breaks the good news to his buddy Michael, who's born again in the firehouse there, that he is also going to join the faith. And Michael is very excited.
You're really in.
I'm really in.
Because you can't be half in and say you're in. You got to be all in, brother.
I'm saying I'm all in.
Oh, Caleb, I can't believe it, man. You're my brother.
I mean, brother?
Yeah, man, you're my brother from another mother. But now we got the same father.
What?
I'll explain it to you later, man. This is awesome.
I don't understand. What do you mean that we have the same father now?
I know it's what so that vague. Means. How what? Can he be so
I'm confused by your vague biblical references.
What? Are we brothers? We have different parents.
What?
I don't
we
get
are
it.
Brothers? What does that mean, African-American, when you say we are brothers? Do you mean in some African-American way?
I'll explain it to you later. This is awesome.
This is awesome. So he continues on. He continues on to try to fight for his marriage, despite his wife not responding, because she hasn't found Jesus yet.
Okay.
And she finally comes across the book that his dad has sent him.
The Love Dare book or whatever.
Yes.
It was?
Yeah. And things are starting to dawn on her now.
How long have you known?
I found it yesterday. So what day are you on?
43.
There's only 40.
Who says I have to stop?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
See?
He's in now. He's
making
he's
up his own.
Yeah. He is committed. He's coming up with new things to do to prove his love.
It's funny that she doesn't realize it until day 43. It must not be very impressive.
Hey, wait a minute. What's this book he's working from? Well, she gets swayed over by the power of Jesus and by his newfound commitment to their relationship.
Okay.
And she shows up at the firehouse in a teary final scene. Where she says, I forgive you for looking at internet
bad
porn.
Things.
And for, yeah, trash. The trash. And also for saving for a boat.
Okay.
Because he takes the money he was saving for a boat.
Yes.
And he buys his her mother, who's had a stroke, a new wheelchair and a hospital bed.
Yeah! Is that one of the dares?
No, he does that out of his newfound Jesus-fueled love. He takes his selfish money he was raising for a boat for himself, and he buys his mother-in-law, who's been stricken with a stroke, a powered wheelchair and a new hospital bed.
Okay.
And she finds out about that, and she is just so moved by his generosity that she comes to him in the firehouse and says, "I want to be saved too. How do I find Jesus?" And they have a huge make-out embrace. Now, you have to keep in mind, while they're kissing in the scene, it's shot from the back and it's backlit, so you can't see the actress, because Kirk Cameron refused to kiss the actress who plays his wife in the movie, and they had to bring in his real wife and put a wig on her so he could kiss her.
Is that right? I forgot.
Yes.
You mentioned
because
that at the time,
he
right?
He won't kiss any other actresses other than his wife, because that's against God.
Sure.
Okay?
Okay.
And so they're making out, and Michael's looking at the window. His buddy from the fire is looking out the window, and he is thrilled because he can see the power of Jesus has brought them back together. And the rest of the guys in the firehouse are like, hey, what's going on? And this is the final scene.
Hey, what are you looking at?
Hey, back up. There ain't nothing to see here.
Wow, what's going on?
Go back to your business. Caleb's in there starting a fire.
Why is he starting a fire in the bed?
It ain't that kind of fire. Go back to your business. Go, hey, put you on cleanup duty.
Yeah. Come on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That didn't just happen.
Power of Jesus.
That did not just happen.
Couldn't Jesus have given them a little talent if he really wanted this story to be told? Couldn't he? Couldn't he just imbue the screenwriters with some talent at all, or any of the actors? Couldn't he come down and just touch them for a one scene and just let them give a performance? Couldn't he have? Isn't he all-knowing, all-powerful? Couldn't he have made this a movie that you could watch?
Well, if they were starting their own fire.
Yeah, see? Nothing to see here. Why is he starting a fire in the firehouse? No, it ain't that kind of fire. I'm a brother of another mother with this man. Everyone go clean up.
Did he ever explain what he meant by the different
Never
father, same father?
It. I think Caleb is still confused to this day.
That's sad.
Yeah.
All right, so fireproof. You would recommend it?
I would say burn it and see if it really is fireproof.
One of the great K-Rock musical artists of the last 15 years, Beck, is going to be joining us in studio 1 hour from right now on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Silver Lake. Not washing your hair in tight jeans.
Come on.
Hipsters. Wow. Silver Lake.
Wow.
I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Hipsters and Silver Lake.
How dare you? We're very excited about Beck. Why are you going to come at him like that? It's 8:14. Time to talk about strippers.
I love fake boobs. Oftentimes you find them on strippers.
Mm-hmm. Megan Fox, who we have, I apologize to the Kerrick listeners, have not talked about very much this week. But Megan Fox did an interview with GQ magazine on newsstands today where she talked about how she became obsessed with a girl who was working at the body shop when Megan Fox first moved to L.A. about 4 years ago. A Russian stripper who went by the name Nikita. Here's what she says in the interview. Nikita would do these beautiful slow dances to Aerosmith ballads. The actress also said that she would bring the Russian stripper gifts and try to inspire her to quit her line of work. And that's kind of what got us thinking about what it must be like for a stripper with all the various things that are coming at you every night.
Oh, and hey, I don't mean that the way it sounds. Come on.
But, Ralph, you've got a little bit more experience in the strip clubs than I do. I mean, this has got to be pretty common where the customer falls in love with the dancer and thinks that there's a relationship there and does everything they can to make it work, right?
Yeah, it's just a perfect storm for strippers usually, because you have to think about the fact that there's a certain percentage of guys go to strip clubs just for the fun of it. And then there's another hardcore audience there that is going to strip clubs because that is their only access to attractive women in various states of undress.
Wow.
And so they get there and then they fixate because these girls, because of the nature of their job, have to be nice and have to be friendly and have to act interested in what they have to say. And you get a lot of guys who get obsessed and fall in love with these strippers. I mean, it's not an uncommon phenomenon. And then so they want to date them and they want relationships with them and they start showing up and bringing gifts and buying cars. I mean, I've dated a few strippers and you would be amazed at the stories I've heard of things that they were given in terms of these guys trying to buy their affections. In essence, one guy gave a girl I knew a car.
Wow.
Just brought in the keys and said, here, this is for you. I heard you had trouble with your car and you were having a hard time getting to work and blah, blah, blah. So I thought you could use a new one and just handed over the keys.
And what did she do? What was her reaction to that?
Thank
you. Did she take it?
Thank you.
Really?
Yep.
She didn't go out with him, though.
Nope.
Now, 99%, maybe higher, of these girls would never give this particular guy or girl the time of day, but that's their job. Just like the waitress at the Denny's, her job is to be pleasant to you, and whether she likes you or not, it's just they're in a service industry, right?
And their service is fantasy. Their job is to create a fantasy world where you get to pretend you're attractive to really hot girls and they want to dance on top of you and grind their bodies against you. That's right. What they're selling. They have to make you believe that that is happening. And then in exchange for that, you open your wallet and empty it onto the floor and they pick everything up.
I know it's unlikely that there are strippers up at 8 o'clock in the morning.
They may be still up.
Yeah, just it's getting possible. Back from IHOP. They had a long shift. They had to fill up.
That's had true. A couple rails, you know, in the bathroom at Denny's there on Sunset. They're
the strip
good
club
to go.
DJ had a fanny pack full of blow.
Exactly, yeah. They're finding a way to wind down. They're listening to our show trying to fall asleep.
Usually that's good advice,
good
too. All right, so we're looking for strippers now. That's fine. We want to hear the stories of the people who give you stuff and try to talk you into going out with them, or, as in the case of this Megan Fox story, by the way, try to save you. Try to convince you that stripping is not the thing you ought to be doing, and they try to talk you out of it. I guess they become obsessed with you to the point where they think they have a personal relationship with you, and they think that you care. You know, they care that what you think. I guess is what happens, right?
Yeah.
And it's so funny, the guys who try to date strippers, famously, are super jealous about them too. And the minute they start dating them, they want them to quit their job and stop being strippers and just sit at home and polish his jet ski or whatever he's got going on.
Former strippers are fine too. We want to hear from you if you've got any kind of stripper experience and what it was like for you and how it relates to this Megan Fox story of desperately trying to woo Nikita and not being successful. It sounds like for more than a couple of weeks and then it just exploded. It sounds like.
Yeah.
But 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We're putting out the bat signal in the sky. We want strippers and former strippers, give us a call. And by the way, maybe you were working the body shop about the time Nikita was working there about 4 years ago. We particularly want to hear from you. So your calls are coming up next right after this on the World Famous K-Rock.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
826 on the Kevin Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ. Even hearing all the warnings that you gave, Ralph, about people who fall for strippers and how it's not realistic and how you're going to fail by trying to date one, it had to be a little bit easier for Megan Fox, right, than most of us?
Yes, she's smoking hot. And here's the thing. Women, a lot of strippers are bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And the people they tend to respond best to are women, because they're just creeped out because the guys that they meet are usually so disgusting and sort of sloppy and pathetic and desperate and needy that they get turned off by guys. So they often act out sexually with women. God bless them.
Well, that's what we're talking about. We're looking for strippers and ex-strippers at 1-800-520-1067. Megan Fox was trying to make it with Nikita. It didn't work out. How did it go for you? Let's try Rose in L.A. She's on line 6. And Jesse and Yuri, you hang on, too. We are definitely going to get to you, and we'll take some more calls, too. Hey, Rose, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You are an ex-stripper, right?
I am indeed.
Why did you stop?
Why did I quit? It was such a skeevy job. Like, I was not working in one of these, like, lovely, like, high-class places. I don't want to say the name of the place because I'm talking bad about it right now and so on. But, I mean, it was just a dump.
Jumbo's Clown Room?
I can't say it.
Okay, enough said on that. Now, if you had been hotter, would you have been able to work at one of the better places?
I was hot, I couldn't deal with the better places. All the girls were jealous of me.
Yeah,
I got you.
All right. How common is this story that Megan Fox tells in the new GQ issue of people who want to date you and bring you gifts or try to constantly talk you out of stripping? Tell us about your experience with that.
Well, I got a lot of people just trying to talk me out of it, especially girls who came on dates with their boy. Who takes their girlfriend to a strip joint anyway?
I do.
But there you go. Yeah. But, I mean,
me too.
But it's, a lot of girls were trying to talk me out of it and saying, like, this is not what you have to do. I have this job and that job. And my answer is, great. Well, I'm making more money than you are.
That's the thing. The cash is so good, it's hard to turn down, isn't it?
It is. But the best present I ever got was one of my regulars came in one day with a diamond ring, this huge, enormous diamond ring. I don't know how many carats it was, but he asked me to marry him.
Wow.
No kidding.
And you had never been out on a date or anything with him?
No, I mean, you know, I guess it's this thing that you were just talking about where he thinks that we're in a relationship and he thinks that it's going somewhere.
Right.
But I was going to quit in 2 weeks anyway because I was just sick of the place.
Yeah.
So you took the ring and changed your name and moved to another city?
No, not exactly. But I take the ring, but I told him, look, Rick, I can't marry you. But if you give me this ring anyway, I will quit in 2 weeks.
Oh, I see.
And so I took the ring and I quit in 2 weeks because I was going to anyway. And I just got a great diamond ring out of it.
And Rick got zip.
Well, of course Rick got zip.
Yeah.
Rick wasn't my boyfriend.
That's the way it works.
Wow. There you go. That's the lesson learned right there. Okay. Thank you, Rose. Appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Jesse in L.A. Jesse, it wasn't you. It was your ex-wife that was stripping. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. When she was going to college to become a mortician, she was a stripper in Dallas.
Such a weird mix.
some guy asked her, what would make you happy? She said $10,000. The guy wrote her a check.
Oh, wow.
Was it good?
Yeah, I got that furniture.
Unreal.
No kidding. So she took the $10,000 check, and there was nothing given in return?
Nothing given in return.
As far as you know.
I thought there would have been, but I checked around and nobody seems to know anything else.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Nice.
Hey, thanks for the call. By the way, as Jesse's telling that story, I'm reminded of something that we haven't brought up at all this week. Let's talk about a stripper who hit the big time, who was in the right place at the right time. You guys remember a young lady named Anna Nicole Smith?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
That's how she met Howard Marshall, right?
Yep, that's how she met Howard Marshall. There's a girl who was not at all attractive. Remember, this was pre-boobs. And she's stripping, and a guy worth like $90 million comes in and takes to her and ends up marrying her.
I don't know.
That's a stripper story that worked out pretty well for her, I guess.
I don't think you can say Anna Nicole Smith was not at all attractive. I thought she was.
She didn't look anything when she started stripping and started hanging out with him. You see the photos from that period. She didn't look anywhere near what she ended up looking like when she started posing for Playboy.
I'm not sure that turned out well because she's dead and she never got the money.
She never got the money, yeah. Well, in Bean's world, that's a win.
No, but I'm saying
anything ends in tragedy is usually Bean's favorite thing.
I
did a painting of her dying in the hotel room.
But tell me the truth. While he was alive, she was living way high on the hog for a guy who was 90. She wasn't having sex with him or anything like that. She was just spending all of his money, and that happened because she was a stripper. I'm saying for a while there, it was going pretty good for her.
And she didn't even have to get high on his hog, so it all worked out.
Exactly. All right, we weren't looking for male strippers, but Yuri called anyway.
And
apparently it happens in both directions. Hi, Yuri. Thanks for holding on. You're on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Good morning.
What's the deal?
I ran out of college, moved to Vegas to make a little bit of money, was selling real estate, started doing a little bit of dancing, and this older lady starts coming in there on a regular basis and starts kind of favoring me, and eventually we get to talking, and I basically said I really don't have a car. I did, but it was kind of a beater. And we started, she started saying, hey, maybe I can help you out with something. And one thing led to another and ended up with a car.
You got a car out of an old
broad. She brought you a car. What kind of car?
Well, that's the funny part. Originally, I just said I needed something to get around town. So we went to like a Honda dealer together and looked around and ended up getting a Porsche.
Oh.
Ended up getting a Boxster. And it was very nice, I must admit.
But you had to give it up to this old biddy, though, right?
Not that many times.
Yeah. That's the thing about women. Guys will just give and be suckered. I knew this broad was going to get something out of Yuri for the car. I knew something was going to happen.
She eventually did.
Yeah.
We can talk to every stripper who's ever been given a car, and most of them never ended up putting out, but every guy has. I guess you're right about that, Ralph. That's awesome. So she had expectations, didn't she, that there was going to be some sort of a relationship or no?
I'm not sure how long she wanted it to go. I think she just wanted, a little fling for a few months, because eventually she stopped showing up, and eventually I quit and left.
A little gigolo action. Sounds
like a win-win scenario, dude.
That's the way it worked.
But if you wanted the pink slip, you had to work the pink. You know what I'm saying?
So to speak.
Thanks for the call, Yuri. Mike, you think maybe you put too fine a point on that?
No, not at all.
Was that really necessary?
I apologize.
We started a new feature called Kevin and Bean Instant Request, and it's taken off. And we're getting a lot of good requests. We're getting a lot of bad requests as well. But this one came into the Afro line at 323-520-AFRO.
Hi, I have an instant request. How about Sean Connery and Gene Simmons discussing who's banging more chicks?
Wow.
Sean Connery and
Gene
Simmons.
Pretty obvious, really, when you think about it.
Well, I guess let's do it.
You instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and
Bean. Instant request.
Good morning, Sean Connery.
Hello.
How are you doing this morning?
I couldn't be better. I'm better than you, that's for sake.
Yeah, that's no question about that. Also, I believe on the other line we have Gene Simmons.
Good morning, everybody. It's Gene Simmons.
How are you, Gene?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic.
How are you listening?
I'm fine, Gene.
Would you like a rose creeper?
I'm sorry, what?
Rose creeper. I'd like to massage your body with rose petals and then in the
Okay. A little abrupt.
All right. That's a little... we can't say things like that, Gene, if you don't mind.
All right.
Gene, say hi to Sean.
Hello, Mr. Connery.
Well, Gene Simmons, how are you?
I've been a big fan of yours for quite some time.
Well, I'm a big fan of yours, too. I really enjoy your work. And by work, I mean how many you...
No, it was funny. I was actually alluding to the fact that I'm not actually a fan of James Bond movies or your work on film. I enjoy how much ropey you shoot into.
Oh, thank you so much.
Come on.
I'm quite proud of my copious of.
Come on.
Sorry.
What are you apologizing for, Gene?
Gene, are you all right? We were just talking about Sean's ropey stands of.
It's true.
Gene, are you okay? Or do you have Shannon Tweed in your.
Oh, come on.
Is that why you can't speak? Is your tongue so far Shannon Tweed that you can't talk?
Right now I'm performing the chocolate pizza on a girl that I met in Thailand.
Outstanding.
It is.
Wait a minute.
Any one of those from Domino's?
This is a special order, believe me. I can tell you about it sometime. But, Mr. Connery, you know you are in your extended age, and I'm getting up in age, and I just wanted to know, what are your secrets to continuing to be sultry, to be amorous, to be seductive at your late age?
Well, I find it's hard for me to get a on unless I mix some violence with my sex. So now I like to a girl on to punch her in the back of the head.
Oh, the donkey punch?
The donkey punch, yes.
No.
That sounds fantastic. Have you ever tried the Thai donkey punch?
No, what's that?
Oh, do you just put on brass knuckles?
Oh, it sounds great.
Come on.
I like to take a woman's and her like it's a
wow.
And hold her nuts. So that when I
come on.
No.
This is the most foul thing I've ever heard.
When I my down her she and hopefully to aspirate some of my into her.
Oh.
That's fantastic. I prefer to mix with and take a woman when she's on her at full.
Come on.
I take my and then I go all over her mixing the and the ropey strands of split all over her.
All right.
Yeah, making a almost a Jackson Pollock like splatter paint all over over.
Yeah, I call that the raspberry tart.
This is the worst idea ever. That.
That's funny because I always called it the tomato taco.
Well, you say tomato, I say tomato.
Okay,
as long as the girl just ends up with on her, who really cares?
Come on!
Please, stop.
All right, we got to go.
Wait a minute. Now, we're just getting into interesting
you
here.
Guys enjoy.
We gotta run. But
let's
go
have lunch, Gene.
Lisa May, speaking of lunch, how about I shoot all of your...
What does that have to do with lunch?
Has Mike ever been more delusional than he is about how many five-year-olds could you take in a fight?
Well, it's a matter of degrees, because he's constantly delusional. But this time, he's really just out of his mind.
I do get the sense sometimes that Psycho Mike, who, you know, is in pretty good shape and considers himself, you know, the best creature on earth.
Right.
I do get the feeling sometimes that he thinks he's a real-life Rambo and that he could kill 100 people with his bare hands if he had to.
Yeah. He thinks... I think the drug use really has done some damage. That's the problem.
I think he's really fried his brain to the point where now he can't comprehend reality versus fantasy.
I don't think I could kill 100 people with my bare hands. Five-year-olds? Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
here's the deal. There's a website that's become very popular on the internet, as the kids call it, called How Many Five-Year-Olds Could You Take in a Fight? By the way, do not email me to ask me what the website is. How Many Five-Year-Olds Could You Take in a Fight.com is the website. Okay?
Very easy.
And the ground rules are simple. You're enclosed in an area roughly the size of a basketball court. There's no weapons or foreign objects. Everyone's wearing a cup.
Right.
The children are merciless. No kicks to the groin, right? The children are merciless and will show no fear. If a child is knocked unconscious, he is out. The same goes for you. And the purpose of the website is there is a quiz that they have developed where they ask questions about your physical ability, whether you have any kind of special training, if you're, you know, if you have some judo in the back or, you know,
right.
your past or something like that.
Your personality,
they want to know
what kind of person you are.
Right. They want to know, there's a moral compass section about, you know, discerning how you would feel about fighting kids. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to win? And then at the end, you take a short quiz and there is a score that is revealed of how many five-year-olds you could take in a fight. And I was completely honest when I took the quiz and my number was 18. 18 five-year-olds.
Which I think is a little high, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
Doesn't mean I'd want to do it, but according to the information I inputted, they think I could take 18 five-year-olds in a fight. So,
but you'd be crying. You'd be crying after like the fifth one. Did they say that? You'd just be a mess, and just by sheer falling on them by your voluminous size, you'd crush a few. You'd get lucky.
So we're having a conversation about this off air because this is the type of thing that people do to waste time at work. And Psycho Mike laughs out loud at any number under 100. He seems to believe that he could take all the five-year-olds in the world.
He said infinite number. Mm-hmm. Then you just keep coming. I would just keep taking them out, all of them, all the time. And I said, you're an idiot. By sheer numbers, if anything attacks you in a swarm or a pack, eventually they're going to wear you down and you're going to go down.
No, not me. I could take an infinite number of five-year-olds. I could wreck them. I would wreck five-year-olds.
You know how small their bones are? You know how undeveloped their breathing is?
I could take them all out. I went to my sister's kindergarten class where her kid goes. I could kill them all.
I did think about that. I was last time I was at my nephew Mark, his kindergarten class. He is exactly 5, and I was thinking back to when I was in that classroom, and there's 45-year-olds in there. I'm like, if I just went let loose, I would wreck every one of those kids before they could even think to do anything. And now, and then, obviously, you take the wolves and you change them up a little bit because these are ruthless 5-year-olds. These are not your average 5-year-olds.
They're like zombie 5-year-olds.
No, yeah.
They're feral
kids.
Okay, I sat at home and I thought about this. And I'm like, okay, these are Soviet coked out orphans. These are like the baddest 5-year-olds that have ever existed.
By the way, Soviet coked out orphans playing Coachella. They're very good.
And you've got an 8-ball in your pocket and they're jonesing.
They need it. Yeah. Right. I'm the only food they're going to have. These kids, they're not going to stop at anything.
They're children of the corn.
And I took the test numerous times yesterday, and I got both between 34 and 36, changing my answers on a couple that I was iffy. And it's 34, and I'm still saying way low, easily 50. You put me in a basketball court with 55-year-olds, I will, not only will I beat them up and win, I will probably come out mostly unscathed.
You're just
serve
insane.
Them. Yeah, okay, whatever.
They're Lightning's surrounding
kid's
fine. You.
Lightning kid, you know what? Take Gavin and clone him. And I would just go on a war path.
But you're not Superman. Mike.
I know
you're
I'm not Superman. They're 5-year-olds.
But there are a swarm of them attacking you all at once.
I know. You do get tired, Mike. You understand that.
I understand that.
You understand that the 5-year-olds that are outside of your reach are not tired.
Right.
Okay? So
They're coming over the
top. They're coming at you.
I understand that. But as you take out one or two 5-year-olds, and if they're unconscious, they're done. So I break off the first 4 or 5 within my first striking distance. Then I have room to move and maneuver, and I can back up and check my space.
But they're coming from behind you.
It's over after that.
They're coming from behind you, idiot. They're coming from every possible direction.
I understand that, but you.
If I got a cage of 50 rats and I let them loose on you, they would gnaw you to death before you could take all the rats out.
See, now you're just being asinine. That's ridiculous.
We're talking about swarm mentality.
Picture the scene in Kill Bill where Uma has the 88s, where she's got 88 swordsmen coming at her. From all different angles. But I'm just saying, it's a room full of adversaries. Look, Ralph brought up a great point when he used the word swarm. Could you take one bee? Of course you could. Could you take 2 bees? Yeah. Could you take 1,000 bees? I don't think so.
No,
I mean, there is strength in numbers against you.
Is that they would have to all literally, like a cartoon, jump on me at once and keep me down. That doesn't happen in real life. One of them gets on my back, I shake him off immediately.
Then another one's on your back, and then you shake him off, and he's gouging at your eyes, and you can't see the other one's coming.
Yeah, you can't be everywhere at all. At one time.
How
often
are you thinking you can just dominate anyone at any time?
No, I don't. I think I could dominate 55-year-olds who come up to my waist in a basketball court. That's the. I'm just telling you.
You're mentally deficient.
All right.
Truly are.
All right. Okay. Listen to me. If you take,
you took the test and they gave you the number and you still reject that. You reject even the scientific,
excellence
of the how many 5 years
you
take in a fight.
I must eat a little crow and say that I can't take infinite like I thought. I was seeing it as like a Bruce Lee movie where there's lining up
That's
in a line
saying,
going one by one and I'm just breaking them off.
You think your life's a Bruce Lee movie?
No,
and it's not.
No. But 50 is very that's an average LA Unified School District class. 50 kids. Put them in a basketball court right now. Put them in Nerf costumes so I can't really hurt them. And I just start wailing. You will see. But any of you out there who hate your children, or you, like if there's some orphans listening that happen to be on like a CB radio that you found in the trash, let's do it. Come on,
yeah,
anytime.
All you orphans on the trash CB that picks up FM, come on down.
All right, we need to take a break. Let me take one call before we do. Go to Kirk in Lakewood. He's on line 7. And then we're going to take other calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're right about this. And Mike is psycho. He's living up to his name. He is delusional if he thinks he could take 55-year-olds. He just can't. Kirk, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey. I've got 3 boys, 9, 6, and 3. You give them all 3 wiffle ball bats, and they would take his ass down.
No wiffle ball bats.
No weapons,
no, so shut up.
Thing, Kirk.
Stupid Kirk. Die.
Okay, fine, then, dude. 3 rusty spoons.
Listen, no weapons allowed!
There
clearly
no
stated, that was the first thing I said. You give them stones, or I mean, I'm not talking about wandering through Slovakia and kids are hitting me from the ceiling with big boulders, you douche. I'm talking about kids with no weapons.
Look,
there's nothing they can do to me!
Okay, I'm sorry. My 3 sons and my 2 nephews that are under 4 would kick his ass.
Yeah, all right.
Especially if the animal hugs
sign
up
him
on Captain Crunch or something with a lot of sugar in it.
That's a bold claim. Bring him down here.
Thank you for the call, Kirk. We brought up an excellent point that I think you're forgetting. You're thinking about the fire in your belly, Mike, and you're thinking about how motivated you are to win. Picture 50 kids just as motivated as you are. They're bringing it also. They may not have your strength one-on-one, but they are rapid.
No, they don't have more energy.
Have you ever been around a five-year-old?
Yes, a lot of times. That's what you're missing.
And jump and scream
and shout. They can. They have a lot of energy.
For like a day and a half.
They have a lot of energy. But they have teeny little lungs. Not only do they have no power, they have very little wind. They can go all day because they have a lot of energy, but they have to stop and take breaks. They get tired.
They don't need a lot of energy to put their little tiny hands in your eyes and pull them out. They're attacking your eyes, your face.
That's what you're misunderstanding.
Up.
They're 3 feet tall. How are they getting to my eyes when I'm like a Viking berserker spinning around serving them? I pick up one kid and start bashing other kids with them.
How windy would you be after the Viking berserker, by the way, for about 3 minutes, and they're still coming?
Once you create space in the basketball court, because that's clearly stated in the rules, once you create space for myself, I can start knowing my what's behind me and
they're
in front
mad.
Of me and
they're
moving.
Not, they're not going to stand back and let you
no,
have space.
No, but
they're
I can create.
Coming.
I've been jumped by adults, and that's what you do. You create. Once you can create some space, you know where to move.
These aren't reasonable adults who are trying to size you up, a-hole.
What about the kids who can crawl around your feet and pull you down? They can pull your legs out from under you.
Yeah,
you can't
I agree.
Control all of them.
Listen,
all right.
Listen.
We got to take a break. Hold on, everybody. We got to take a break. We got some calls
we'll get
on the phone.
What is your point of view when we come back, right?
We will definitely hear from Omar. We'll hear from you, too. 1-800-520-1067. The site is how many five-year-olds could you take in a fight? Mike says all. We'll discuss when we return on K-Rock. I think we're going to have to take this out of the laboratory and put it in real world and have to find 55-year-olds to take down Psycho Mike. Don't
Come
you guys?
Come on.
Listen to Nate from Torrance's email. Ralph, when I was 5, my dad taught me to grab onto the neck and not to let go for anything. If Psycho Mike had a kid like me, the time it would take him to get me off his neck, 10 other kids would take him out at the knees, then 5 would start jumping on his head, while the other 10 kids tackled him would start breaking his fingers.
No, he's thinking with a grown adult's brain, but not with a 5-year-old's body. The time it would take me to get him off my neck is, I don't know, 1.5 seconds of just...
And what about the next one who gets on your neck? What about the next one? And then the one after that?
Why are the kids giving you headbutts in the knees and the stomach while that's happening?
They won't be headbutting my knees because they'll be simultaneously getting their ribs broken by one kick from me because they're 5-year-olds and they have bones like little birds.
You can't keep kicking every 1.5 seconds.
Yes, I can!
What, you just do the splits in the air for an hour? You're an idiot asshole.
All right, hold on a sec, Jackie Chan. Let's take some calls. How many 5-year-olds could you take into fight.com is the site? That's the discussion on the table. Let's start with line 2.
I got 27, by the way. I took the test. 27.
Oh, did you? Wow. Okay. Well, you got the boxing training and everything. You got some skills. 1-800-520-1067. Ron is in Covina. Robert is in Bill Gardens. He is on line 3, please. We'll try to squeeze in a few phone calls and try to bring Mike down a few pegs. Yeah. Good morning, Robert. What do you think?
Morning, Mike. As much as these kids nowadays need a nice good beating, but I think most of us, if you think about it, every single punch you throw, Mike, is going to be with the intent to kill him. And after about, if any of the stands there in shadow boxes and throws their hardest punches after 20, you're already getting winded. By then, those kids have all jumped on you. It sounds pretty accurate. About 30, even if they land up one at a time, you're going to get winded after a bit, man.
Now, what about that? You're going to get winded, and there are going to be a ton of 5-year-olds in the room who haven't done anything yet, who are still at full strength.
Well, I took that into consideration, and yes, fighting is probably the most physically demanding thing there is. But I'm not in kind of good shape. I'm in really good shape, both respiratory-wise and muscular-wise. And my adrenaline's flowing. That's clearly stated in the rules that not only are the kids fighting to the death, that I am in mode to fight to death. I've thrown morality right out the door, and this is a fight to the death. So with the adrenaline pump, I'm ready to go.
But when your adrenaline's pumping, your energy is used up even quicker. If you know anything about fighting, keep your cool in the ring, because in 3 minutes, if you let your adrenaline get you on top of the physical activity, your energy will start to burn out. It happens to the best of fighters, Mike, and you're not nearly as in shape as the guys who are in the ring professionally.
I'm not saying I'm not. But
after 3 minutes, they're winded, but you wouldn't be because you're super Psycho Mike.
No.
Let's go to Ron in Covina. He's on line 2. Also disagrees that Mike could take 50. Ron, good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? What the hell is smoking, man? Seriously, you can only take 30. And the reason to say this is, first of all, you could probably get like a few of them, but after a while, they're going to start clinging to your body. And then you're going to be trying to kick them off and throw them off, and they're going to start climbing on you.
Yeah, sheer numbers.
That's what we're saying. For some reason, Mike doesn't understand that kids can do that.
Well, no, what you don't understand is that kids aren't like adults and that they couldn't do that. That the level of the disproportion between my strength and their strength and my ability and their ability, and it says that if they get knocked out, they're considered dead. If they're knocked out of the game, I'm going to knock out so many so quickly that it's going to create ability for me to walk around and create and
see
what I'm doing.
You're not Jackie Chan, man.
Oh, I know,
you're
I'm
not.
Like Jackie Chan. Whatever.
You're going to start whacking people, knocking them out, like give them karate judo chops?
They're 5 year old.
And they're coming at you all at once in a mass swarm. You're not understanding the concept of the sheer numbers of what you're facing.
You're not understanding that how, because they're coming at me in mass swarm, how are they going to all get on top of me? What, I mean, it takes
one at
so,
a time.
So little force to throw them off of me and keep them, prevent them from getting my legs, getting on top of me, getting my hands, getting my back. They're up to my waist, and I'm not even a tall guy. How are they going to get up there when I'm constantly preventing them at
they're
all angles?
They're climbing on top of each other and themselves.
Okay.
They're coming at you like wild animals. That's the whole point.
I understand that.
They're you don't understand.
What, you don't, I don't understand. I guess you don't spend enough time with kids to know how fragile that body, even a big, huge five-year-old who's, like I said, like these are like the worst, most badass, like tough thug five-year-olds. Their body can only take so much damage before they're either fatally injured or injured to the point they can't go on.
You can handle 50 chihuahuas, let alone 50 kids.
Let's talk to Lauren in Newport Beach, line 7. Lauren, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on Q-Rock. Help us bring Psycho Mike down a few pegs. What's up?
Good morning. I am a teacher of severely handicapped, autistic, emotionally disturbed 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. And I would like to invite Mike to my classroom to take on 6 or 7 of my students because they are wild.
Yes.
And bite him and grind him down so fast.
I bet.
They will take chunks out of his flesh. It'll be
absolutely
awesome.
I like how you're offering up your students to get beaten.
Hey, Don,
by the
this
way.
Isn't about her. This isn't about her, by the way. It's about you. Yeah. And I hope they bite you right in the artery in the inside of your leg and you bleed out.
I hope
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's they're special. So they're not included.
They do
in the
have
rules.
Card strength, though. You guys got to remember that.
Yeah, unfair. They are card
by
strong.
The way, Mike doesn't seem to think. Thank you, Lauren, for the call. We appreciate it. Mike doesn't even seem to think the way he's talking that he could get hurt. He doesn't. He seems to think he's impervious to them biting. He's impervious to them kicking, to smashing. There's nothing.
He thinks it's World of Warcraft. He gets to pick what his power is when he goes in.
And my power is being a strong adult. And
he thinks that they are not strong enough to do any damage to him.
Right, because he's impenetrable. Because he is just,
of course,
he's superhuman.
Right. Let's do
they
one
have
more.
Bird bones.
Joe is in Glendora on line 5.
We're not getting malnourished kids from Ethiopia who are coming in. Who are like, hitting you like Montgomery Burns, by the way, looking for some rice and Sally Struthers.
Unfortunately, I don't think we can find a scenario, as generous as Lauren's offer is, where Mike can actually fight the kids. The
there
five-year-olds.
Has to be some like illegal immigrants who could offer up their kids for like $50. Come on.
Well, let's see what Joe's saying. Joe may have an idea. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, good morning. Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
So there's only two ways we could really come to a conclusion on that. I think the first one would be either to call the decider.
Right.
Which I think Psycho Mike's obviously probably going to lose that. Or we could put him in the 50-kid simulator and put him in a gymnasium full of midgets.
What about midgets to substitute for the five-year-olds? What about that?
Five-year-olds.
I'm in.
Oh, come on.
How many midgets could you take, though?
They're much stronger than five-year-olds.
I agree, but it'd be worth trying. It'd be fun to beat up 50 midgets.
You would. Number one.
Hey,
listen, if you don't live for something, Lisa, you die for nothing.
Whatever John Rambo said. Way to go, Rambo.
I just got word of one of our listeners who wants to get a member of the Kevin and Bean Show tattooed on his or her body. I can't imagine that that's a good idea, but we'll find out more when we talk to him or her in about 15 minutes, plus comedian Kevin Nealon on the way. Right now, though, I think we got the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time
what's on the wheel, or what the hell should we just call it? Talk to the raccoons.
Pimp and chimps, Japanese attack bear, Russian dog girl, suicide New York City turtles. Whatever. It doesn't make any difference, does it? I mean, seriously. Hey, I'm spinning the wheel. Okay, now it landed on the raccoon gang attack.
Oh, that sounds interesting. What's that story
all about?
This
is the best. I don't know. A 74-year-old woman. And when I say this is the best, I mean the best.
Unless you're the woman, right?
A 74-year-old woman in Florida was attacked by a gang of raccoons. Now, apparently what happened was
she opened the door to shoo her. I guess they were on her porch, and she wanted to shoo the animals away. So she opened the door, and they attacked.
Okay, this is kind of freaky.
It's a raccoon gang.
I have raccoons at my house, and they are fairly fearless in that you can be outside with them, and they don't run and hightail it. But if you get close enough, then they turn and go. They certainly don't come toward you and attack. That's the part of the story that surprises
me. I've had a stare down with a raccoon, and they will not back down. I mean, they will just look at you like you're going to die. But to attack as a gang, I mean, this is an all-new high.
She fell down and they enveloped her, said the sheriff, by the way. She literally was bitten and scratched from her face and chest all the way down to her legs. So they mauled her, these raccoons did. And producer Alex has lined up, the sheriff in Lakeland,
Florida? Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd we've got on the phone. Hello, Grady.
What's up, fool?
Is this Sheriff Judd?
Sheriff Judd, eh? My name's Victor. I'm a raccoon and I'm crazy, fool.
Wait a minute. You're one of the raccoons in the gang?
Shocking, right? Who would have thought? Like, you'd be talking to a crazy raccoon, eh?
So
like, I'm loco. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you don't care.
That old lady, she's just the first on my list. Hey, I got my whole crew right here. I got Scissor Lips. What's up? I got my homegirl Chancla. She don't even know. And then I got Ray the Maniac up in here. Hola, what's up, home? And there's Bum and Donut. All the homeboys are up in here. We're right now we're just like celebrating, you know, we're sitting back, smoking some wet cigarette, like listening to some music, and it's a party because, like, you know, we're taking over.
No.
Like down here, it's just first it's going to be like Florida's, then it's going to be like the whole like southeast, and then like all over the country, fool.
Okay.
We're crazy. We're local.
Are you the first raccoon gang?
Nah, man.
You're not?
Nah, dude, you don't even want to know because, like, we're crazy like nocturnals. You know, like, we don't sleep, fool.
Right.
So, like, when all you humans are, like, you know, you're like Betty Bide, you know, doing sweet dreams.
Right.
You know, counting sheep, fool. Like, we're out doing dirt, and that's what happens, fool. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't mess with us. I got, like, them fancy teeth in my grill, and I'll bite you good.
Right.
And I got my, like, razor hand. You know what I'm saying? Like,
But this 74-year-old woman was just trying to get you off her porch.
Fool. Like, her primo, her cousin, I know that homeboy. His name's Ray. And, like, he tried to hook up with my little cousin, you know? And, like, I heard he drank too much, like, at the Bacardi. And, like, he was, like, all touching her, all stupid, you know? So, like, this is what she gets. She don't even know. She don't even know. That's right, Chocolate.
Leader of the Raccoon Gang. What's your name again?
My name?
Yeah.
Oh, my name's Victor, fool. But you can call me, you can call me Trucha.
Trucha.
Trucha. Yeah. What does that mean? What's Trucha mean?
I think it means trout. Which doesn't make much sense because I'm a raccoon.
No. Right.
All right.
So
well,
I should have looked up what the Spanish word for raccoon was.
Well, that would have helped.
Yeah.
That would have made a lot more sense. I can't tell if I'm more impressed by the fact that you're running your own gang, that you can talk, or that you're listening to Art LeBeau's Super Oldies. I can't figure out which...
I'm your puppet, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, can I make a request, by the way? You guys are liking radio, huh?
Yes.
All right, I want to hear Always and Forever by Heatwave. I want to dedicate that to my little girl, Chunka, right here. Say what's up, Haina. Hey, what's up? I want to dedicate to her because, like, she doesn't even know. And by the way, like, as soon as we get done with you guys, we're gonna sex her into the gang.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
Airtight.
Okay.
You don't even know.
Right, I've heard that. I don't know if you pay attention to the fitness crazes and who puts out DVDs on how to stay in shape.
Mm-hmm.
2005, Oprah Winfrey did it.
She did?
Yeah.
How's that going for her?
I don't know who would want to take her advice on that. Supermodel Heidi Klum, of course. Carmen Electra has released DVDs showing how to stay in shape using the pole.
I love pole dancing.
That's Lisa May.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's K-Fed.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Come on. Cool. He's fat, for one thing.
Why? Yeah, exactly. Good. Although they didn't stop Oprah. Let's find out what's going on. The former Mr. Britney Spears is on the line with us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, K-Fed.
Follow me now. Follow me. Booyaka.
K-Fed.
What's up? Yeah.
What do you, first of all, let's address Lisa's concern. You're fat. How can you be putting out a fitness DVD?
Well, that's the whole point, dog. Look, Lisa May.
Yes.
You're right. I happen to have put on a couple pounds lately. I'm not looking as good as I usually do.
We saw that picture of you on the golf course, and that's not just a couple of pounds, my friend.
No, you're right. You're right, dog. I was getting fat. I was getting out of control.
Okay.
You know, Brittany was influencing me with her unhealthy lifestyle, dog. And, like, I had to take care of my kids, yo. I'm not used to that. I'm really not. I'm used to making children. And I'm used to leaving them.
Yeah.
But now that they are in front of me and I'm responsible for them, dog, I can't be, you know, hitting the gym like I usually do. I can't be preparing my meals like I usually do.
That's what K-Fed said earlier this week, is that his weight has ballooned. Yes, because that's what you said.
Yeah.
Because of the pressure of looking after my children.
But you have like $20,000 a month in child support. You can't. Surely you could hire some help for an hour.
Oh, like he doesn't have help.
Yeah. I do have help. Okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, it doesn't matter how many nannies or butlers you got. You know what I'm saying? And I got my whole team down here.
Right.
You know, I even got Black the Ripper.
Really? You know, your producers?
I got Girth Brooks and Dark Gable. I got all my homeboys down here. And listen, children are difficult, and there's no instruction manual for raising a kid. You know what I'm saying? So I'm piecing it together. I learned.
There are about 7 million manuals on how to raise kids.
That's true.
But there's none for me.
I see. Okay.
And the kids don't like to smoke dank, I've noticed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like you gotta just check things off. Like, they don't like gold chains, they don't like the Kim Kardashian sex videos, they don't like everything that
They shouldn't be seeing the Kim Kardashian sex video.
I've learned that. But it was trial and error, dog.
How old are they now?
Oh. I think it's not in that article you got.
Well, I think
they're wondering if you knew, Kevin.
Let's go with 2 and 8 months.
One of them is 2 and one of them is 21 months.
Come on now. Yeah.
What, you're happy not about that?
I was so damn close.
Oh, dear God.
Now, K-Fed, you said to Fox News this week, I plan to get back to looking ripped and sexy again.
That's
I know I've let it all go, but watch me fly this year. And that's why you're putting out the fitness DVD. We have a clip that we're going to be playing from your DVD. We got an advanced copy here, Kira.
Yeah.
But is there a theme? Is there are you a weights guy? Are you a cardio guy? What's the secret to getting the shape you're talking about?
Listen, it's not easy to be chocolate dipped and ripped like K-Fed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but I understand everybody does not have access to a gym, to top notch grade A celebrity like fitness facility.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I call this the Kevin Federline real life workout because it just mimics things that you do in real life. You know what I'm saying? And you could just be chilling at the pad, and it's time to work out. Boom, pop in the DVD. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you just doing what you do in real life, functional, human-like movements for the everyday American player. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, it's about getting chocolate-dipped and ripped, shredded to the bizone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sinewy.
Just before we play the clip, don't you think you're putting the cart before the horse a little bit here by putting out the DVD before you get ripped?
Oh, dog, listen, it's not ready for release yet.
Oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying? But we on that level. You know what I'm saying? Where I'm working on my new album right now, The Dark Knight.
Wait a minute. First of all, your first album was a complete disaster.
No, it was not.
No one cared.
No. Critically, it may not have done that well. You know what I'm saying? Commercially, maybe it wasn't exactly successful.
Everyone,
but artistically, people recognize that K-Fed's got places to go.
No one liked it. No one. Fans, critics, nobody.
Did you sell any?
Yes, sold tons.
No, you didn't.
Tons?
You sold like 8.
How many?
What? Are you kidding me, dog?
No.
I sold...
How many?
Close to 3,000 records.
Wow. That is pretty big. Now, and the new one's called The Dark Knight, I heard you say.
Yeah, I'm in the lab right now with my team, you know, Dark Gable, Black the Ripper, Disco D, you know what I'm saying? We're putting it down, and... So, like, I figured you guys wanted to talk about my exercise DVD. Of course, I have not finished it yet. I have not, but when I do, I guarantee my physique will be tight and everything, and the DVD will be the most groundbreaking thing that's ever hit the fitness industry. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what I am. I'm a trailblazer. You know what I'm saying? I'm a leader.
You're not really any of those things.
I'm the alpha dog. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Caesar Milan got to check me. So what I'm saying is I sent Ovo just the first take.
Okay.
This is the first take of the first scene we've been working, you know, at the rehearsal studio. And I really want your guys' opinion on how it sounds.
Okay. Right. Well, listen to it. All right. The K-Fed Exercise DVD. Let's see what it sounds like.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Kevin Federline, and this is my workout tape, Real Life Fitness. All right. Let's go ahead and just get warmed up. Start with a couple jumping jacks. That's right. Okay. Get the blood flowing. Now go ahead and just grab that champagne bottle, the official Real Life Fitness champagne bottle that came with your package. Uh-huh. Pop that top. Mmm. That's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, now go ahead and just pour that on a bitch. That's right. Oh, what? There you go. There you go. Really get the extension in the wrist. Yeah, that's right. Drown that bitch. Make it rain. Uh-huh. Okay, there you go. And two. And three. And four. There you go. Pour that champagne. Now make it rain. Now grab the water cash, the official Kevin Federline Real Life Fitness water cash. And there you go. Make it rain on it. There you go. Yeah. And really move those wrists, that right hand wrist, as you hold with your left hand. As you see, I hold the money. There you go. Uh-huh. Uh-oh, it's the police. High knees, run. Okay, you're running from the police. That's right. You're running from the police. And they're trying to swing at you with the billy club. Oh, yeah, run. High knees, let's go. Hit the fence. Jump on the fence. Jump over the fence. Attaboy. You're over the fence. Oh, it's the Ku Klux Klan. They're coming at you. They're what? Shooting. Duck. That's right. Hit the ground and duck. Barrel roll. Play for the Klan. They're trying to... Now they've got the noose around your neck. Let's play.
What are you
grab
talking
the noose
about?
And pull up. And pull it to save your life. You don't want your neck. Oh, I'm on the noose. You save your life. And release. Release. That's right. Deep squat. You're running from the Ku Klux Klan. Grab that watermelon. And throw the watermelon. Throw the watermelon. Just fizzle. Have a better life.
Take that.
Real world fitness. Watermelon.
What?
Smoke that weed.
You're not?
Feel the burn, Nucka.
Why I'll would the Ku Klux Klan be after you?
You tell me. It's hard, harsh world out there for a black man, but you know what I'm saying? That's just part of life.
You're
you know
not,
what I'm saying?
But you're not black.
Why That's what trying? I'm... Why are you trying to deny me my culture, dog? You've been doing it for 400 years.
Now, you said that that this was some that what happens every day in your life. This is how you lose weight.
That's right. Real life fitness.
So you get chased by the police. You have to jump fences.
And you know what I'm saying? They be hating on me. You know what I'm saying? But on the streets of L.A., it could get tough. You got to run.
And then you throw watermelon for some reason?
Yes.
Oh, really? You're having a party? You're going to have some kind of entertainment? Yeah, Coldplay.
Yeah, they're going to stay. I know. Knock out some tunes.
That's about it.
Come by if you want, you know. Cruise by.
Either way.
Kick things off about 7.
It'd be about 4 of us.
Yeah.
The fewer, the better. Wouldn't it be awesome if there's just 4 of you sitting on the couch
yes.
and Coldplay sitting?
Chris, could you just play some dinner music for us? Just keep things just low. Just some instrumental stuff. We're trying to have a conversation here. Thanks so much.
All right, let's talk about the Internet Roundup.
Yeah!
We have a link up there. Ralph, tell us what this link is.
This is one of my favorite stories ever. This comes from Gawker.com. And what had happened was someone tipped off Gawker.com and said, you have to check out Craigslist in New York City. There's a douchebag on there in the personal section trying to find a girl. Mm-hmm. And his Craigslist posting was, Mr. Right is IZ. Here waiting on you, just the letter U. And when you open it up, it was just one sentence. Listen, if you really want to get to know me, just send me a note. That was it.
Okay.
And then he followed it with 30 pictures in the ad.
30 pictures.
Yeah, wow. Pictures okay. like this. Him wearing those great classic
Kanye.
80s sunglasses with the Venetian blinds on them.
He's wearing the Kanye okay. West glasses.
Holding like They're a hot. Bunch of 20s in his hand to the camera like he's a playa.
I make it rain.
Yeah, here looking like Dave the King of Mexico here wearing holding sure. some more 20s,
mm-hmm.
wearing a faded Joker t-shirt from the 1980s.
Yeah.
Here he's just flipping his finger to the camera because he's a badass.
Because that's how he rolls.
Yeah, here he is just holding up. Some more 20s to the
you
camera.
You can't even like, see me behind my 20s.
It's like he's got like $80 in his hand. He's showing the camera like he's Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Anyway, now, so, Lisa, does that work for the ladies if they just see pictures of dudes holding a bunch of 20s? Is that attractive at all?
There's really not a woman I know that
oh,
thinks that's
Oh, I'll bet
hot.
There's some.
It's funny how Gawker says that he's included for some reason what looks appears to be some unrelated wedding photographs that they can't even find him in. 30 pictures in this ad. So someone tips Gawker off. They take the photos off Craigslist and they publish them on Gawker, because
awesome.
Gawker's one of these websites just likes to, you know,
snarky, F with people. Basically.
Yeah, F with people. Well, he finds out, the guy, Mr. Right, in the photos.
The dude with the money?
Finds out.
Yeah.
And he calls the Gawker people and starts threatening them with all kinds of violence and legal action and what have you, saying you
Wait.
Can't use those photos.
These are his photos that, I mean, he posted them on Craigslist, which
yeah.
is public and available to, for anybody to see, right?
These photos are mines.
He reminds them, yeah. And they remind him, look, it's a public forum. Craigslist is a public forum. We just pulled them off, and we're a public forum. We're just reporting the story.
Right.
Well, he doesn't want to hear any of it. So they tape recorded the conversation they had with him, and then they posted the conversation on Gawker.com.
Awesome. And
these are some clips from their conversation with him.
These photos are mines, right? I posted it on Craigslist like probably like 3 days ago. I went to the website. It has my post, and people write comments making fun of my pictures. Some guy that posted, you know what I mean? He wrote funny things about me, and the thing is that he didn't ask me permission. That's the first thing. The second thing is I could press charges on him because that's fraud.
What?
Okay.
That's fraud.
I'm not sure he's a lawyer, but I don't know how that's fraud.
I posted it, and that's fraud.
Those photos is mine.
Those photos are mine. I
push on, black man, push on.
I mean, it's like if I take your picture of you naked and, you know, put it on a website, that's fraud right there. You know, I get girls pretty much. You know, I'm a young dude. I do what I do. I'm a producer. But my whole...
I'm a producer.
Oh, this guy
is produces
gold.
Photos of him being a douchebag. It's the only thing
wow.
he's produced.
It's the same as taking naked pictures of you and putting them on.
The whole problem is it's not because of that. It's because why would somebody take my pictures without my permission? It's like taking your... Social Security and using it without your permission.
Nope. It's not just like that.
It's not like using your Social Security number at all.
Really doesn't have anything to do with that.
And then people are joking on me. You see the comments. What girl wrote a comment there that is saying, oh, you know, he's a pretty guy, but they say he lives with his mommy. He got 600. What the f***? That's embarrassing. What happens if I walk in the sheets and they say, oh, look at that guy. That all he has. So come on, man. Like, that's not cool. Like, I would punch the whoever did this, and I will
f***
him up because you don't do that.
That's battery,
so,
isn't it?
That's fraud. I think everything's fraud.
Everything's fraud, okay. Yeah. So his complaint is that Gawker put up the photos,
yeah,
and people made fun of the photos.
Exposed him for the a-hole that he is.
Exactly. And people are making fun of him, and rightfully so.
Absolutely. He's one talented Negro.
Well,
what's going to happen is, before I do any illegal actions, they're going to take it off and say it never happened. But you know what? I'm 10 times smarter than these people, because I'm going to record it right now. Absolutely. You see, it's not your fault, but I know how the business runs in New York. I know how it all runs, these people, how they do it. They play smart, but I'm way smarter. I'm going to call my lawyer, and this is going to be a problem.
He's 10 times smarter than the Gawker people.
That's what he says, and that's why he doesn't know he's being recorded.
This guy's not 10 times smarter than a brick.
Because I didn't like that. That's not funny.
Well,
it's a little funny.
He knows how business works in New York, though, Ralph. Come on.
He knows how it all works.
That's true.
He's a producer, for God's sakes.
So, Internet Roundup at the KRock.com, the Kevin DeBead section. That's where you can see the photos and hear the audio, and it's hilarious.
I'm
the
guy's unclear the best as to whose pictures they are.
These photos are mine!
We have your tickets to see Pearl Jam here on the world-famous K-Rock. We have tickets for you to see them when they play the sold-out Gibson Amphitheater September 30th. They're also playing October 1st, 6th, and 7th with Ben Harper. If you haven't seen him, he's an amazing artist. And those tickets between now and 10 o'clock, as a matter of fact,
okay,
on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 9:36. Ralph will be along with a final look at the showbiz beat in just a few minutes here on the Kevin DeBean Show. First, though, we turn our attention to a story out of Malaysia. Look, I know it's tough to get married. It's tough to stay married. It's tough to make that work. But here's a woman who's looking for her 23rd husband.
Yep.
Do I have that right? 23rd husband? I mean, she's 107, so it's not like she's 40 and looking for her 23rd husband. But still, she's got problems, if that's the case.
She has a lot of problems because she's married to a dude who is 37.
Whoa!
So only 70 years her...
Does she have problems or does he have problems?
By the way, he's 37 and he's undergoing voluntary drug rehabilitation treatment. And she's afraid that he's going to leave her, so now she's already looking for number 23.
Wow.
He hasn't left her yet. She's not single yet. But
I haven't heard of a 70-year age difference since Lisa used to be married to that old man, remember?
That's true.
So let's find out what's going on. Producer Alex has lined up the beautiful young lady in Malaysia right now, and let's say hello to her on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Is this Wook Kunder?
Yes, this is Wook.
How are you today, Wook?
Sorry? Yes. Please make sure you pronounce the D in my last name.
Wook Kunder.
Thank you so much.
That's very important.
Okay. Yes. Right. I'm very impressed at 107 that you can hear as well as you do and that you're able to speak English.
I am in remarkable physical condition. I have a young lover who keeps me very flexible. When...
I'm sorry.
Who's saying uh-oh back there?
That was Psycho Mike. He's worried about that flexibility comment.
Yes, I can listen to me spread my legs.
Oh.
That does not sound sexy, Wook.
Now close them.
Wow.
I must take a nap now.
Now, Wook, you're married to a 37-year-old.
Yes.
You're 107.
Yes.
He's 37.
Yes, my husband, Muhammad, is... Yes, because I need hot loving
right.
almost every night.
Right.
I crave it. I love hot sex. And I...
You just can't go to a bar and pick someone up?
I cannot go to a bar. Mm. Because when I go to lift a drink to my lips...
Right.
By the time it gets to my mouth, it has evaporated.
Oh, you're moving kind of slow is what you're saying.
Yes, that's my point.
You're not a fast-moving individual.
I do not go anywhere or do anything quickly.
Right.
Okay.
It is painful and slow for me.
Right.
But I am 107 years old.
Well, that is pretty old, I guess. That's
hear
part
my
of the
legs
color.
Again?
Yes, please.
Wow.
Oh,
the other way?
I broke a hip.
Oh, no. That's sad.
No, I'm okay.
All right, good.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
Okay.
Dean's done with you. She's on.
Who's that on the phone with you, Wook?
She's 107.
I'm going to hang up now.
Okay.
I'm getting there. I'm not hung up yet.
Right, hang up the phone.
Okay. Put the phone down, Wook.
I'm going to hang
all right.
up.
All right, we're going to wait to make sure you hang up safely. Go ahead.
Just
keep it doing.
Just put it down.
Here we go. Getting close.
Any minute now.
All right.
Hung up on.
Just hang up the phone.
It's almost there.
All right, just
okay.
Hang up now.
Just drop it if you have to.
Okay. Still hanging up.
Listen, please just hang up. We got to go.
I'm trying.
All right, speed it up.
Okay.
How far are you from
the phone? Damn these wireless handsets.
Oh, is that you walking?
Yes.
That's you walking over to the phone.
Walking to the wireless phone.
Okay. We may not have time.
Hang it up.
I need a flow chart for how this bit's going to work.
I answered it way over there.
Right, but doesn't the phone have an off button?
Now I'm getting closer.
Just push the off button. We don't have time for the walk.
All
okay.
Right.
How far away is this phone?
It's another city? Listen, just turn, hit the off.
Let's just stay on the phone.
We got to go, Wook. I'm sorry. We have to. We're out of time. Okay. Bye-bye. We'll talk to you next year.
Bye
now.
Bye. Seriously, you hang up.
No, you hang up.
We're going to wait to make sure you hang up safely.
I have all day.
Okay. Our showbiz guy, Ralph, will get upset at us, though, Wook, so we got to move on.
Is he married?
Yeah, but he'll fool around with you.
Oh, good news for me.
Just hang up now.
Tell him to bring a vat of Astroglide. I am not a moist woman.
And some WD-40, it sounds like.
Oil can.
Okay. All right, we got to go.
Bye-bye, Wook.
Goodbye.
See you later.
Hey, party people, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KRQ. I know what you're thinking. Guys, today's show is so good. What do you got for me tomorrow? Why should I come back for the Friday Kevin and Bean Show? Well, here's why. Carey Hart will be here talking about the Moto X World Championships. Also, actress Jenna Malone in studio with her new film called The Ruins.
Oh, that looks scary.
It does.
I hate stuff that goes under your skin. I hate when things burrow their way into your body and then go flying around.
It's not good when that happens.
That's bad.
I think I can safely say. Also, an announcement I can say no more about a band that rhymes with Schmoen Schmempel Schmeilitz. I cannot say anything else beyond
that. Who's the band?
And funny man Jay Moore is going to be in studio tomorrow, too. And I think you know he's always entertaining.
My old naked buddy.
Your old naked buddy. That's right. Yeah. From vacation. Right.
That's right.
Plus, of course, it's Friday. That means the movie beat. Ralph, tell me about exboyfriendjewelry.com. Would you please?
Well, it is a website where gold-digging whores that have ripped off men and fooled them into giving them lavish gifts of jewelry and other expensive items, then dump those same said men, talk poorly about them on the website, and sell off these items at a huge profit and make a lot of money on the hard-earned gifts that men have given women.
Or it's a website where women who had the unfortunate experience of ending a relationship and had some jewelry that they, perhaps in their heart, they couldn't wear anymore.
If they can't wear it anymore, Lisa.
Decided
that
maybe they could put it on a website and sell it to some other woman who would enjoy it. And by the way, maybe for like $50 or $100
bucks. No, or thousands and thousands of dollars.
No, not thousands and thousands of dollars.
You say, Steve, you know, our relationship is over and this piece of jewelry reminds me of that relationship and I can no longer good conscience wear it, so here, take it back. Here's the return.
You don't give a guy back. 2 years ago, somebody gave a girl a necklace for Christmas. 2 years later, they break up, and she's supposed to pack up all the jewelry or whatever he ever gave her and give it back to him.
Excellent idea, Lisa.
You've
crystallized my thoughts perfectly.
You would have to do the same then. Everybody be packing up their houses.
Gifts, if women gave gifts, we'd do that.
Women give gifts.
Yeah, well.
All right, kids, I'm going to have to separate you here for a moment because Marie, who is the creator of exboyfriendjewelry.com, is actually on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Marie.
Hi, Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Marie.
I don't think I'm shouting out to Ralph.
Oh, well, fine. That's how you're going to be.
Angry, bitter Ralph.
I'm ready. Let's go, Marie. You and
Marie.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan.
Oh, you're very sweet. You're very kind. Why are you such a gold-digging whore then?
Oh, well, let me tell you. I do think Lisa May is a little more on the money if you look at the site of what women are saying about it. But my stepdaughter and I, Megan, came up with this idea and it was more from that standpoint of having these things, these kind of painful little reminders, collecting dust at the bottom of your jewelry box. And for the most part, we've had a lot of women say they tried to give it back.
Really?
Oh, sure they did.
Yeah. No, I mean, well, Ralph, I don't know. Did you ever have, you never had a girlfriend say you can take this thing back?
And shove it?
I have never had that happen to me, no. All the jewelry I've ever given has stayed gived. They were more than happy to walk away with the jewelry in hand. I never got any offers of returns.
You know, it's not like women get thousands and thousands of dollars of jewelry from boyfriends.
Well, maybe
that
you're dating
really
the wrong fellas,
happen.
Lisa.
It just doesn't happen.
Listen to this. Here's one item from exboyfriendjewelry.com. This is a watch that you can find on the front page of the site right now. And then you read, click on the watch and you get, here's the scoop. So he comes home from another one of his trips to Las Vegas with this. And I like it. And pink is back. And I notice that it's water resistant to 30 meters. I don't know exactly how deep that is, but presumably deep enough to withstand hot tubbing with a stripper. No thanks. I'll buy my own watch. That's what you're talking about on exboyfriendjewelry.com is I'm going to sell the stuff that you went to the trouble to pick out for me. Keep the money and trash you for the world to see.
No, that's jewelry with a funny story is.
And that is the idea because we want it. You know, look, anybody can go on eBay and sell something and you can go on Craigslist. You can go to nasty pawn shops where you know, they'll offer you almost nothing.
Right, but you can't bash your boyfriend on eBay.
You can't get the cathartic release of being able to talk about the breakup addition to moving on.
Marie, this is what I'm saying. It's all about bitterness. Has very little to do with selling jewelry.
Marie,
that's
tell
my
me
point.
If I'm wrong. Some of the women are not angry with the men. The breakups were not what they wanted and they were sad.
Yeah, there are as many posts of women that said, you know what, it just he was a great guy. I can't have this around anymore. I don't want to look at it. It's a painful
Marie,
reminder.
You lie, you lie, you lie.
There are loads of
I've been there.
There's also loads of beautiful bracelet that he didn't mean. That's one that's up there. Another one, yeah, he knew me really well. What the F? Another one that says, if only he were as cool as his gifts. And she's selling off beautiful diamond earrings. It's just
really? How much?
Oh, stop it, Lisa.
Lisa.
Give you some of those.
We, by the way, are going to take some phone calls from K-Rock listeners on this at 1-800-520-1067. Clearly, Ralph is right, and Lisa needs to hear that. So we'd like you to call in and back my man's Ralph's play.
We have actually gotten a number of emails from guys who have said, cool site, great place to pick up jewelry. Thank you.
There you go. What about?
There's a lot of cheap bastards out there that would like to benefit from people's heartache and give something to a girl.
You are, in fact, a whore.
Now, that may be the one upside I can see this, is that guys can buy the recycled jewelry off of these girls for
Well, that's one of the reasons we have a section in there. In addition to the scoop, which is where we ask them to talk about the breakup, we have an area where there's a jewelry description. We also ask women to rate the jewelry because most everybody says this was a great gift.
Yeah.
And we hope that that's a good place for guys, for a guy to go, she really likes it.
And
this way, I don't have to spend too much money on her because she's probably just going to break up with me and then sell it again anyway. So I don't want to spend too much money on good jewelry for
you
her.
You don't generally resell jewelry for what it was bought for. So you actually could get some really great deals on the site.
All right, let me put it another way. The woman was in the relationship because of all the free stuff she got, and now that the relationship is over, she still needs a way to get money coming into her. So now she's going to start selling the stuff she got while they were together. How about that?
Yeah, that's what women do
that's
the time. That's how we all get by. Yeah.
All right, Marie.
Marie, who hurt you that caused you to start this site? That's what I want to know. Where did things go bad in your relationship?
The irony is that I've been married for 20 years and have everything he's given me and are still with him.
For now.
He's a little bit more nervous about giving me jewelry than he was, say, 2 months ago.
I can imagine.
It is interesting that now you're asking him to keep the receipts, though. I think that's what the tip-off is, I guess.
The catalyst from my stepdaughter who had a couple items, and she's in a great relationship right now, and she went, God, I don't feel right wearing this stuff around a guy that seems like he's the one. Mm. So that's where it came from, is that conversation.
But it's just jewelry. It doesn't really mean anything.
Some people are sentimental.
It does mean something to us.
But if you like it and it looks good on you, why not just enjoy it and wear it and keep it in the spirit that it was intended? It was given at some point. It was given with a certain amount of affection and appreciation. Why can't you hold on to that aspect of it and just enjoy the gift?
You know, there are guys, too, who it would bother them if you wore jewelry that some other guy had given you. There are those guys out there, too.
So girls need just to completely take off their jewelry collection and let the
Depends.
New guy fill in those voids by buying her all new jewels.
Depends. Couldn't hurt.
All right. Listen, we got to take a break right here. Give us a call if you have an opinion. You want to weigh in on this, 1-800-520-1067. Again, the site is called exboyfriendjewelry.com if you want to check it out. Marie, you can hang on and come back with us.
I'm sorry. We just lost Marie unexpectedly. We'll get her back on the phone,
though.
Yeah, they just died.
We'll get them up and running.
We'll get it together and come back right after this on K-Rock. First, though, we're talking about exboyfriendjewelry.com. Marie, Megan, your name can't be Marie Megan.
No,
it's Marie
and
Megan, right?
Marie Perry, my stepdaughter's Megan, and she's in it with me.
Yeah.
Gotcha. How long has the site been up and running?
She's on the scam with you, you mean?
It's been up for about a month, so we're very new to the whole, internet mogul thing. And Ralph here, I want to tell you, I found this one just for you.
Uh-huh.
There's a necklace up there that says, I blew it. And the scoop is, I wish I'd known what I had when I blew it with this guy. I was just too young. He was the best. If you're out there, I'm sorry.
And to make it up to him, I gave him the beautiful diamond necklace back so that he can sell it and make his money back. Oh, no, she doesn't say that there, does she?
It was a long since time. He's probably way moved on.
Marie, does it say on your website? I'm glad someone brought this to my attention. You don't want it. He can't have it back. Is that anywhere on your website at all?
Yeah, that might be the tagline.
Oh, I see. That's that's the motto of your site.
Look, if the guy's in the hot tub with a stripper, why should he get it back?
That's one example.
That's just one example.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a couple of calls because everybody is fired up about this. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Matthew in Los Angeles. He's on line 3. Hey, Matt, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? Can I get a ding-ding for Lisa May?
Sure.
Why not?
Hi, Matthew.
There we go.
Just don't give her any jewelry, Matt.
Oh, no way. So, yeah, this website, exboyfriend.com. What a load. Complete and utter load.
Well, that's not what this site is. That's not what this site is.
Ralph is on one of those oh-so-few occasions spot on the money. Because in all honesty, there's two types of breakups. There's your good breakup and there's your bad breakup. In a good breakup, you leave. You're not really that hurt. You give stuff back because you don't want those memories. A bad breakup is where you're pissing and hollering and you throw stuff out the window. That's it.
I don't know. What are you guys talking about? I don't know anybody who, after they break up, each of them gathers up the things they gave to each other and gives them back. It just doesn't happen.
Well, you shouldn't, because usually you're going to keep those things. You're saying, well, I got this during the relationship. It's mine. I'm just going to keep it. But if you don't want it, what I'm saying is, if you're deciding you can't have it, you can't hold it in your possession anymore, then why wouldn't you?
Well, you don't make that decision the day you break up. Maybe a year later you go, you know, I never wear this. It doesn't feel comfortable.
It sounds to me like it's...
Ralph, we do have an option there. Every piece of jewelry that gets listed, you can put it up there as just a giveaway.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of women giving away their jewelry.
There are some people that are trading, and there are some people that are giving it away, saying, you know what? Someone else can enjoy this. I just can't.
Marie, if giving it away is an option, then how come you don't encourage people to give it away to charity first, as opposed to just a network of other women?
We hadn't thought of that. We do have something on there called the Good Karma Fund that says, you know, if you do make a little money, we've got a place here where you can give some money to charity.
Well, this is interesting. Thank you for the call on that, by the way, Matt. This is interesting. You have a poll that you can fill out on the front page. My ex-boyfriend is, and then there are various options that you can choose. And I thought this may be telling as to the type of women who are using the site. 13% say the love of my life. 16% said an okay fella, but it was time to move on. 21% said beneath my standards. 30% a great guy, it just didn't work out. The number one answer, 35%, a complete waste of oxygen.
Yeah! Wow. Well, you did break up with him.
Ladies. Let's try Elizabeth. Let's get the other female perspective, because Lisa's clearly wrong. Maybe Elizabeth and Laverne has her head screwed on right. Hey, Elizabeth, go ahead.
Hi. Okay, well, I was in this relationship with a guy, and the piece of jewelry that he bought me was this hideous two-tone thing that I feel I should be rewarded for wearing it in the first place.
Oh, you should be rewarded for wearing his gift. That's sweet. You're a catch.
My relationship following that was fabulous, and I would never trade any of the jewelry that he gave me, because there is sentimental value to it.
Yeah.
Even though that relationship has ended, there's still so much emotion attached to the jewelry that I would never get rid of it. But the first one, that was just...
By the way, yeah. Anne writes in, since when is a gift not a gift and supposed to be alone, which is what it sounds like if now you're getting rid of it after the fact, too, which is another interesting way to look at it.
Or maybe they meant that why do you have to give it back? If it
I think
gift,
that's what they meant.
Gift. It's not alone.
Yeah.
Lisa, what about all the bad gifts we've gotten you on QVC over the years for your birthday? Maybe this is the site for you.
Think about all the jewelry we've bought. Sold that stuff?
That's a crappy coworker jewelry.com. That's a different website. Yeah.
Well, clearly you've tapped into something that people are into. And I noticed you said you've only been up for a month, but you have dozens and dozens of stories up there and pieces of jewelry. So it looks like you are off and running with this, Marie.
Yeah, people seem to like it, except for, you know, a few guys. But I have to say, because this has been our fear, is that we were going to really piss off some guys. And yet the overwhelming response that we've had from the men has been positive. I know it's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe because you're lying. That's why I find it hard to believe.
They're getting some deals.
ExBoyfriendJewelry.com is the site. Marie, thanks for coming on the Kevin Bean Show. We enjoyed
it. Thanks, guys.
Thank God The Hills is back, so Spencer Pratt gets some more time on TV.
Buster.
That's good news, right?
Spence Diggity Dog, back at ya.
What's happening, man?
How are you?
Very good.
Ah, that's good to hear, man.
Heidi Montag has given an interview saying that she wants breast implants.
Yes.
She already has breast implants.
Bigger.
What?
She wants bigger.
First off, Linda, look at me.
Lisa.
Look at me when I'm talking to you.
Lisa.
Whatever. She is all natural. Praise Jesus.
No, she's not.
Yes.
Nuh-uh, that's not her nose and those aren't her boobs.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
the implants she got. That's the, what I'm talking
besides
about.
Besides the 3.5 ribs we've had removed from her chest plate, she is 100% natural.
That is
the
not
way
true.
Jesus Christo, God in heaven, has made her.
So she says, I'm a C cup, but I want to upgrade to a double D cup.
Double
We're still
D?
Discussing. We're still discussing.
What do you mean you're still discussing?
Well, maybe double D isn't just going to cut it enough.
Not big enough?
Yeah. I mean, she's a bigger girl.
You don't,
she's not a bigger girl. What does she weigh? 100 pounds?
She's tiny.
Yeah, exactly. And whenever you get over triple digits, it's a little bit dicey.
Wow.
You're talking about,
oh my God.
You're really pushing it when you're getting into the triple digits.
You're not incredibly supportive, are you, with her physical looks?
I'm supportive of her getting better looking.
Okay.
And staying younger.
Well, I think what we can do is we can take some phone calls from people because you do seem to be an expert in body image.
I am a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt.
That's not true.
I train every day.
You don't?
And I take impeccable care of myself. And through my studies of both karate.
You don't do that.
And nutrition.
You don't study that.
And as a registered esthetician.
You're not an esthetician.
And as a Navy SEAL.
You're not a Navy SEAL.
And as a mermaid.
What?
You are a mermaid.
I've come to realize what it takes to be the perfection of human beauty.
Okay.
And I'm here to help your listeners obtain perfection.
God, help our listeners.
In beauty. Whether it be skincare, whether it be hair care, plastic surgery, fitness, and nutrition. I'm here to be your oasis in the desert of futility and ugliness.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
So listen, Kendall.
Kevin.
It's just like Freud said. Love is a battlefield.
I don't think Freud said that.
Do your research.
All right.
Do your research.
1-800-520-1067. We're looking for you if you're considering any type of an upgrade, whether it be skin, whether it be your lip injections, whether it be, boob implants.
Okay, so plastic surgery or changing your hair color.
Nose job.
Maybe it's as simple as using the wrong type of moisturizer. Women.
You know about that, too.
I, like I said, Lisa May, I've been a registered esthetician.
Use my name.
You did.
Damn it, I screwed that up.
Yes, you did.
I've been a registered esthetician.
Nope.
For 4 years.
Not the case.
That's just not true.
It's true. When I got out of the Foreign Legion.
Mm-hmm.
You were never in the Foreign Legion.
I was. After I got off doing my third stint on Broadway.
You weren't in Broadway.
I was in Cats.
You weren't.
And then
weren't.
I became a registered esthetician.
You're not that either.
As I prepared
All right.
to be
1-800-520-1067.
Mark Ruffalo's agent.
If you if you have questions about a possible upgrade in any way,
okay.
Give us a call. And Spencer...
That's right.
We'll help you out.
Oh,
Spencer Pratt, that ass.
We will we'll take a quick break and come. Spencer Pratt back. The Hills back.
Spence Diggity Dog.
In the studio with us, talking about Heidi's boob implant. She wants to go from a C to a double D. Spencer's not sure that's big enough.
It's appropriate. Like I said, we're still discussing whether or not to
Spencer.
Explore the E's.
She's a tiny person. She won't be able to stand up if she goes that big.
She's adequate.
What percentage?
But she's not tiny.
What percentage of this decision is being made by her, and what percentage is being made by you?
Well, let me do the math here. Carry the one. 100% me.
That's what I figured. Yeah, that's what I figured.
Okay.
All right, let's take some calls for Spencer, the body image. What are we calling this?
The beauty dispenser.
The beauty dispenser. Thank you.
What's going on with you and Heidi?
I should be asking you. I don't know. I don't talk to her.
I don't even hear anything you say. It's just me.
Spencer, the beauty dispenser. Spencer, the beauty dispenser. Spencer, the beauty dispenser. Spencer, the beauty dispenser.
I just don't even know.
Yeah, I'm not sure Spencer's the guy you want to turn to, but let's give it a try.
I'm pretty sure I am.
Elia, hi.
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 Ask Spencer your question, and then he will tell you his opinion, which, by the way, he speaks for no one but himself. He does not speak for us or the radio station or the company that owns us.
Okay. What happens to Restylane once it's injected? Where does it go since it only lasts 1 year?
Well, it probably goes to Malibu.
What?
It's true.
What are you talking about?
Well, I've looked at I'm a registered real estate agent.
You're not?
And I know that there's been a high amount of migration in the warmer months towards Malibu. It is utopia.
Okay. All right. That's not the answer I think she was looking for, but okay.
Uh-huh. Enjoy yourself.
Let's go to Tricia. Hi, Tricia.
Hi, Tricia.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome to Spencer, the beauty dispenser.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What's your question?
I'm here to help.
Okay. I'm thinking of going to, into a double D. Right now I'm a D. But I don't have any kids, but I am 34. Right. And
I'm sorry.
Do you think it's a good idea?
How old are you? I'm sorry.
34.
Stop it,
what is wrong with you?
Come on.
Do you have any Lysol?
That is not old.
Do you have any Lysol?
What's wrong with you?
Spray the phone with some type of disinfectant.
Are your D's natural or do you already have implants?
No, they're natural.
Oh.
They're natural.
I'd say keep them.
Like
Spencer, what do you say?
I'd say no,
but what do you say, Spencer?
I'm having a hard time.
All right.
Do you have a hard time looking in the mirror?
Spencer.
No, I actually don't.
Okay, it all gets worse from here.
Okay.
Oh, God. All right. Call, please. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Can you cleanse my palate with a 19-year-old?
Oh, man.
Anorexic, possibly.
I don't really have ages. Let's go to Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Andrew, help me out here.
Spencer, the beauty dispenser.
I'm trying to figure out what's the fastest way to get a six-pack.
Well, Andrew, how much money do you make?
A lot, about 50 grand.
Okay.
How does that play into this?
Do you have a BMW?
No.
Okay. He's asking about first things first. Trade in that Geo Metro, whatever it is, you drive around town at that BS, and go down to my buddy Aknan Avad at the Beverly Hills BMW dealership. He'll hook you up.
He was asking about a six
pack.
Okay,
next call,
right.
Thanks.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Gabrielle. Hi, Gabrielle.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hey, Spencer.
How are you?
I need you to dispense some beauty advice for me.
I'm here to help.
I live in Newport Beach, and there's a lot of competition.
Perfect.
And, you know, I'm 30 years old, and
okay.
Everybody tells me I look like I'm 25.
Well, good.
I don't think I look young enough. I need to look like 19.
You're right.
So, you know, I mean, you could never look thin enough, never look young enough. And I'm just wondering, you know, if I get a laser peel, maybe I'll look younger.
Well, let me ask you some questions first. Describe yourself. Give me your dimensions, your ethnicity. Give me a general idea.
I'm 5'7", blonde hair, blue eyes.
Oh, perfect. Okay, you're an Aryan beauty.
125.
How much?
125.
Okay. 5'7". Okay, hold on now. Just quiet down, Gabi, whatever your name is.
Gabrielle.
Okay.
5'7", 125.
5'7", 125.
That's on the thin side.
You're going to need to lose at least 11 to 14 pounds.
Perfect.
Okay. And laser surgery, not necessary for you because you are white. So you're not really looking to change any of the tone on your face. I do recommend that for people of, as we say in the business, ethnicities.
Right.
Go ahead and lighten that as much as you can.
To try and look white?
Well, yeah.
That's terrible advice.
But I have little freckles.
Remember, it's just like Teddy Roosevelt said. White is right.
He didn't say that.
And Gabrielle, I do think you need to get rid of those besmirches on your face known as freckles.
Yeah,
they're kind of cute.
Oh, Linda.
Freckles.
Lisa.
A lot of people think freckles are cute.
Yeah. A lot of people who are clearly wrong.
Okay.
What you need to do is, what size are your breasts as of right now?
Oh, no, they're perfect. They're a B cup, but they're very
Oh, bright. No, they are not.
They're super
bright. Oh, no, they are not.
All crooked.
No.
I don't want a crooked
Young lady. Like I said, if we can taper your belly a little bit, perhaps remove
a
couple ribs.
No, my belly is totally skinny.
And what we need to do is remove your voice box, because you talk an awful lot for female. First things first. Don't ever talk again.
Right.
Go to double F's in the booth. Yes.
She's 125.
We need to compensate for her talking all day, like stabbing me in the ears with pencils. You talk so goddamn much. What you need to do, never talk again. Then I want you to inject your lips with some form of industrial lubricant so that they are massive. And that way you will have a hard time talking. Then I would like you to get double F boobies and lose 11 pounds so that you're somewhere in the 111 ballpark with double F boobs. And perhaps inject some type of whoopee cushion in your ass, because I like them bigger and I like tapered waist. And I also like fart sounds every once in a while. And that is the gospel of Spence. Hit it.
What's going on, Medina and Heidi?
I should be asking you. I don't know. I don't talk to him.
I don't even hear anything you say. It's just
Spencer the Beauty Dispenser! Spencer the Beauty Dispenser!
106.7.
Something bad is all I'm asking.
It's not possible.
For 10 years, I've been begging.
It's KROQ, the Kevin DeBeach Show at 8:43. That's what she said.
It's too late for that.
Mike just almost put his eye out putting his headphones on.
You
are
right
all horrible
face.
People.
That's correct.
The only thing you're not as horrible as, Entertainment Weekly.
Oh, wow.
No. The only thing you're not as bad as.
I love the Entertainment Weekly and have read every issue cover to cover since the first one. I can't skip. I can't miss an issue. That's how much I love Entertainment Weekly. But you now suddenly have put out a fatwa on them. Why do you hate EW all of a sudden, Ralph?
Because attention must be paid and because they have crossed the line and now it's on.
Ralph is a sci-fi geek. And,
how dare you, sir?
Parading as a normal person. And this,
I am an enthusiast for fantasy, comic book, and science fiction entertainment.
Sure, if that's what you want to say.
Hardly I would call myself a geek, though.
Totally what
geek.
I would say is all of us were shocked that you were able to find a woman to marry. That's what we're, that's basically what we're saying. So Entertainment Weekly came out with their list. In fact, it's the current cover story, I believe, of the top 20 heroes of all time in movies and television, characters, books, and the top 20 villains. And you have a specific complaint about the list of the top 20 heroes. Am I right, Ralph?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of problems with both of these lists. But first and foremost, number 18 on a list of 20 for all-time heroes.
Yes.
We're talking all-time here.
Right.
Number 18, Batman, the Caped Crusader. 18th on a list.
Ralph, it's your lucky day. We have the assistant managing editor for Entertainment Weekly on the phone, Dalton Ross.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Dalton.
Hello.
Dalton Ross, what the hell's going on over there with your little magazine?
It sounds like there's some geeking out going out over there.
There certainly is.
Listen, you don't have to be a geek to know that Batman is better than 18th on a list of 20 when it comes to all-time heroes.
Well, you know, I can also take it one step further. It'll probably enrage you even more. The person right ahead of Batman is Nancy Drew.
I'm very familiar with that, Dalton. That was going to be one of the points I brought up. That Nancy freaking Drew, who hasn't been relevant since...
were a little girl.
Since Elvis was in the army.
But, you know, Nancy Drew has the ultimate secret weapon of precociousness.
Now he's just mocking
you,
Ralph.
If you're not going to take it seriously, then neither will I. That's fine.
But Dalton, look, here's the thing. When you talk about heroes, and we had this discussion yesterday, believe me, we've been hearing about it from Ralph since the minute he saw your issue. In the event of an actual emergency where the world needs to be saved, are you really going to Nancy Drew ahead of the Dark Knight to get the job done? That's really the bottom line.
Sure, if that's the way you're going to define it. I mean, what we try to do is define heroes in obviously a broader sense. What we are worried about...
Like, would you least go to help you in a situation like that?
Who looks best in an Angora sweater?
Who is heroic in their own way? What we didn't want this list to be is, like, look, all good big dudes with guns and capes. Like, it would have been pretty easy and basic to do that, but, you know, we wanted, you know, heroes are... You can't, you know, that's too clearly easily boxing them in too much. We try to expand it out, and then, you know, that caused some really geeked out arguments here. You think Ralph is geeking out. You should see the staff of Entertainment Weekly.
They should have.
Together.
Well, Dalton, your top three in the heroes, James Bond, Indiana Jones, and Superman. Yeah, you really are going outside the box when it comes to heroes on this list.
That's, you know, you can't deny that those guys are great. And actually, a lot of people, like, didn't really get the Bond thing. I thought Bond made clear sense as one, but a lot of people sort of didn't get that. But he sort of defined action films in a... You know, it all sort of comes from him.
In the top 10, you also have John McClane. You have from the Die Hard, you have Han Solo. You have Buffy the Vampire Slayer, who we love.
Yeah.
And I don't think Ralph has a problem with any of those being on the list, right, Ralph?
It's not
just
at all.
The order is all your basic.
Robin Hood is nine.
Robin Hood's nine. Yeah.
There hasn't been a good Robin Hood movie since 1939, Dalton.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner played Robin Hood, Dalton.
You know what? We deducted some points for the whole Costner thing.
And that moved him to nine, where Batman's at 18th?
He's stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. What's not to love? Oh. Especially in these times.
He's wearing tights.
We need Robin Hood now more than ever,
do we
not?
He frolicked in the forest with a bunch of dudes.
I'm sorry.
With long staffs.
Well, you know, the interesting debate, though, getting back to Batman, because this was thought a lot about, was Batman versus Spider-Man. I mean, that was really the big question. We knew those were going to be our three big comic book superhero guys.
But you got Spider-Man at 10, and you have Batman at 18.
Yeah, we put Spider-Man at 10. When Spider-Man came out, was really sort of a reaction to some of the DC comics, as I'm sure Ralph knows. And
right.
You know, the everyman kid, the every kid, and he's got all these problems, he's getting bullied. And
right.
And pretty revolutionary in that sense. And I'll tell you about Batman.
Let me just ask you one last question about Spider-Man, and that is, does that include emo Spider-Man from the last one? Because that was pretty...
We did, you know, lame. In this list, we did often put their least heroic move, and we did put the emo loops. Prompted Strud. That was pretty
still
bad.
At number 10, though. Still,
Still hanging in there.
Still
number
cracked
two.
The top ten.
Okay.
You know, I bet if this, you know, list was made a few years ago on our readers poll, Spider-Man did not crack the top ten. If it made a few years ago, I think it would have been. Batman was number two, right after
right.
Superman.
Let me ask you this, Dalton, because I did have a couple questions about some of the other people in your top 20, specifically Foxy Brown, who, let's face it, made some, you know, the character was entertaining in some Pam Grier movies back in the 1970s, but it almost looks like she's on this list just because you needed another woman and, hey, let's throw something out for the blacks. I mean, really, is she really more heroic than Batman?
I'm sure that's how it came up in the meeting, too.
Hey, forget about that. No, have you seen the picture of her in that issue? That's
oh, yeah. Believe me, she's hot. A beautiful woman.
Hey,
yeah.
How about another list? The black chicks with big cans. You can put her on that list. And make a little more room for Batman on the heroes list.
You could do hot heroes as
Foxy
well.
Foxy Brown's looking foxy, but Foxy Brown's not that different from Dirty Harry. I mean, would you say that Dirty Harry doesn't belong on the list?
Well, neither is Dolomite, but I don't see him. Do you see him on the list? I don't see Superfly or Shaft on the list either.
Dolomite 2, The Human Tornado, is one of the most underappreciated movies ever. Let me say that. But Foxy Brown is very much like Dirty Harry. You know, we don't have Bronson on here, but a lot of people could have said, you know, you put Bronson on. The whole vigilante justice, those are seen as heroic characters also. So I'll just stand behind
Foxy. I'm saying Foxy Brown at 13 and Batman at 17 or 18, is complete and total objective bogusness. That's not even a subjective call.
You know, I think, I don't think it's I think it's, you know, different people have different heroes, and obviously the geek set's going to all want, and trust me, I'm a geek. I'm the guy that went and saw Krull 10 times in the 80s. I
mean, wow.
But, you know,
you're messed up.
You could just have Batman, Superman, and all those guys in the top five, but,
you know,
there's different kinds of heroes.
Listen, you got the Joker, Batman's arch nemesis, at 4 on your all-time villain list.
Yeah,
if the villain is at 4, how does the hero he battle at 18?
Easy answer to that. The Dark Knight was the Joker's film. That was not Batman's film. Ralph, you got to back me up on that. Come on.
But I would like to think that the Dark Knight had a significant role for the Dark Knight in that film, entitled The Dark Knight. And Batman Begins, and all the Burton films, and then the 1960s TV series pretty much saved superhero comic books single-handedly, the Adam West series.
True, but I still think that in all those incarnations that the Joker character, even Cesar Romero with his mustache taped over, was the more electric character than Adam West.
Oh, you're mentally deficient. You're insane.
Let's try and zero.
I'll tell you about the nipple suit.
We're running out of time, but let's try and focus on one thing then. Batman 18, Nancy Drew 17. Admit that is just dumb. Just, I want you to say that was a dumb mistake on our part.
I think it was a controversial call.
Say it! The Hardy Boys aren't even listed, by the way, and Nancy Drew's on there.
We had to deduct for Sean Cassidy. Sean Cassidy dropped the Hardy Boys out of the top 20, let's be honest.
By the way, that's a good choice, but they shouldn't have been in the top 20 to begin with.
Well, let me ask you about the villains list. We haven't talked about the villains list. I'm curious what you guys thought of. We had the Wicked Witch of the West at number one. A lot of people didn't like that.
That's a cutesy call to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just let's inflame
people.
It's
defendable because it's been around for so long.
But Darth Vader is number two. How's Darth Vader?
I see them right up there, one and two.
Yeah, I do, too.
The Wicked Witch gave me nightmares as a kid. I mean, she really did.
Wicked Witch, just like Darth Vader, by the way, continues to scare the bejesus out of little kids even today. I mean, there are people today who are going to see the Wicked Witch for the first time and be terrified. It does hold up, that performance.
Yeah, I think so. And Vader might have been, you know, I bet Vader would have been number one if those new movies hadn't come out.
Took the shine off it a little bit.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. So you're standing by your heroes list. You're saying Kevin and Bean, the heroes list at Entertainment Weekly is right on, and we are standing by it.
So you got
you know that we're always.
You got
right.
Batman surrounded by Nancy Drew on one side and Atticus Finch on the other.
You know, Finch, I'll tell you something interesting. AFI did their heroes list. Atticus Finch, number one.
Yeah, well, he's the only guy on there who wins for moral victories on your list. Why don't you have Gandhi on the list while you're at it, if you're that's how you're going?
We actually kept all real, you know, that's an interesting question, too. What do you do with Oscar Schindler and Gandhi? We kept all any real people off the list.
Well, first of all, Batman is real.
There is that. That is true.
And right. I expect an apology in the next issue.
A retraction.
A retraction as well.
I think Batman is real is all you need to know about why this conversation is even taking place today. Dalton Ross, Entertainment Weekly's assistant managing editor. The copy of the magazine that we're discussing is on newsstands now. Dalton, thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Thank you, bye.
I can't speak for the rest of you, but I love black people, and I think they're awesome. Okay. Got a great story yesterday from MSNBC.com, and you love these stories this time of year with Santa's Gone Wrong. By the way, you hear about the Santa convention that's going on in Pasadena this weekend, Psycho Mike? The rogue Santas that all dress up and go around and terrorize neighborhood and yell things like, "Whose street is it? It's Santa Street." You hear about those guys?
What?
No. So we got to talk about those later.
The rogue Santas?
Yes, Rogue Santas.
They've just been added to Sunday night.
Oh. But this is a great story of something that went very horribly wrong with a Santa Claus. This goes back to our conversation yesterday. Having a picture taken with a pet. And I think we have the audio for it.
It looks like your average picture of Santa posing with a cute little pet, right? But moments after this nice photo was taken at a New Jersey pet store, the Santa that you see there claims that the feline just went wild on him, scratching him and clawing him.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine? He's just getting mauled, attacked by this stupid cat. That's the best.
And this cat, turns out, it might have been a bobcat, not your average home cat. And joining us from Philadelphia is Santa, a.k.a. Jonathan Bevington, who was attacked by the cat. Animal Control just found that cat that attacked you.
Oh, great.
Great.
Oh, great.
Oh, great.
Great. That's a relief. And he, by the way, on the news piece, dressed as Santa.
Sure he is.
Dressed as Santa. So then it goes on.
I had a woman bring in this bobcat, and the cat was kind of stressed from all the dogs being around. And we ended up getting a picture of it, as you can see on your the picture that you were sent.
Right.
But while doing so, I took several bites in my hand and my wrist.
Did it hurt? I mean, I saw the bites there.
Felt really good. Really enjoyed it. Great.
Were you pretty messed up?
Yeah, drew blood in several places. It definitely locked its teeth into me.
What kind of bogus photographer is sitting there in front of a camera and not taking pictures of that?
That's a good point.
Come on.
Absolutely.
He's getting mauled by a bobcat.
Yeah, that's your job, is to preserve that moment for history.
And by the way, is anyone else worried that that's the caliber of guy we have playing Santa?
But the way he talks is probably appropriate for four-year-olds. You know what I mean?
He's
just
maybe
quiet and calm, but it does not make for a great interview. That's true.
Here's the thing. You've been a mall Santa,
mm-hmm.
and kids are bad, and parents are bad, and people are...
And people got to get cranky, and they've been waiting in line.
Throwing up.
Yeah.
That's got to be one of the worst gigs ever.
Has to be.
To very be a Santa.
Very few jobs that don't involve the sewer are worse than being a department store or a mall Santa. I can't imagine. I mean, I couldn't do it, Kevin, but even you who loves kids,
yeah,
can you imagine hour after hour, kid after kid, sitting on your lap and whatever comes out of them is on you?
No, because if you're supposed to be Santa, you can't really say anything to anyone.
No,
I mean,
no.
You can't say, hey, how about getting control of your kid? Nothing.
Right.
There's no way. There's no way.
You'd be fired.
So we would still be screwed with all those kids. Absolutely. I promise you.
Oh, yeah.
I promise you that you will get that helicopter.
I'll
There's
get
no
you three.
Question about it.
How about a pony?
I'll get you three and I'll throw in a pony.
Can I get you a pony? That's right. But there have to be people in our audience who have had to play Santa at some time or another, right?
Yes. And I know because we take phone calls from people who have to dress up, whether it's at Disneyland or any place else. But this particular one seems like it's nightmarish because of everything that we mentioned. Everybody's frustrated, long lines.
And they get to sit on you.
Yeah.
You know, and God knows what happens then.
Yeah. So 1-800-520-1067. If you had to dress up as a Santa during the holidays, how was that? Good times? Oh, by the way, we're doing the auction for the front row seats and backstage passes for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008.
For both nights.
Plus, you get to meet us. And you get to meet some of the bands that we're interviewing. And you go to krock.com and click on the bid now. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's up to $800. 100% of it goes to the charities that are being supported by this.
Great.
Okay. Also, next half hour, by the way, from the Terminator television show, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, will have two of the big stars, Thomas Dekker and Summer Glau, are going to be joining us in the 7 a.m. hour. We were talking about Santa getting attacked by a bobcat.
Ho, ho, ho! Come, sit on Santa's lap.
It's kind of an expensive mix between a bobcat and a cat, I think. But the bobcat took the picture, and then when the picture was over, just went to town on Santa.
Oh.
Yeah. Bobcat just destroyed Santa.
And we're thinking, that's a horrible job anyway to be Santa. Even if you've never been attacked by a wild animal, it still is a bad job. And we wanted to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. And I want to start with Brian in Riverside. He's on line four because I just didn't know this is where Santa Clauses came from. Hey, yeah. Brian, how did you end up playing Santa Claus?
What's going on, guys? Lisa May.
Hey, Brian.
I ended up getting a speeding ticket that I never took care of and had to go to court and ended up doing community service. And the community service was to be served at a Goodwill store in Fontana.
Right.
And so as soon as I walked in, they said, go ahead and throw this on and get out on the street. And I dressed up as Santa like noon on a Saturday and was out on the street waving to everyone and being an idiot. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
I can't believe that was what they made you do. That's so funny.
There are judges telling people, hey, murderer, you're going to have to go dress up as Santa.
It was horrible, and I was trying to keep it from my friends, and my little brother read me out, so I ended up getting egged and water balloons from my friends.
You have good friends.
I loved it. It was horrible.
They did the right thing.
Couple days in a row, it sucked.
Wow,
that's fantastic.
That's brutal.
All right.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you for the call. Sean is in Los Angeles. He's on line two on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Sean, how did you end up wearing the Santa suit?
Hey, good morning, guys. Lisa May.
Good
how
morning.
Are you?
Good.
Okay, so my son goes to a Montessori school daycare kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Director, the principal asked me last year, "Hey, you know, please, we need someone to play Santa. You're a new dad." I said, "No problem." My son had just turned two. She's like, "No problem. No one will ever know."
Right.
I step out the door, out of the crowd. My son stands up, points at me, and goes, "Dad,
oh,
2 years old." So my wife and I have been on the Whirlwind Santa Claus tour this year, trying to prove that I'm not Santa Claus because I'm stealing his childhood.
Wow!
Oh, that's rough.
Wow!
Yeah, been fun.
Your kid at two. I mean, I understand that little kids recognize their parents, but at two, to be pretty aware that it's you in the Santa suit—that's you should be impressed by that, dude.
Well, I'm definitely impressed. He's much smarter than me already, but like, no problem. He'll never know. Piece of cake, and he's
sure.
Just out of just dad.
Boom. Wow, dad. Good times. All right,
that's awesome.
That's good.
Thank you for the call.
What are you going to do when Santa comes by?
I'm going to say what's up.
Yeah, good point. Let's try Seth in West Covina. He's on line seven on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Seth, you got to play Santa too. How come?
Well, actually, when I was in high school. I was in a show choir at West Covina High School, and we had to do Christmas shows like 3-4 times a day for elementary schools all over, you know, our city.
Right.
So I had to be Santa because I was the biggest, fattest guy, but I'm like really dark and Mexican, so and it didn't really make any sense. But either way, I had to, you know, do Santa, but we never washed the suit. And so I'm dancing around in the suit, and it's getting all sweaty and nasty and moldy, but we're afraid if we washed it, it would fall apart. So we just Febreze'd it every day, and so I had to wear this suit for the entire month of December, and it was
so
absolutely
gross.
Disgusting.
Oh, no.
Oh, I always wonder about those suits. I was having a conversation with Susie Pancake the other day at the IHOP near my house, and a different employee several times a day puts on the Susie Pancake outfit and goes out in front of the IHOP and waves at traffic, and I'm thinking, that has to get just pretty bad inside that costume after the first couple of days, right?
It's disgusting, yeah, and the material is not like the best material that you want to be wearing,
right?
You know, for hours on end.
Yeah.
It just gets itchy and disgusting, but it made up for it. One time I went to a school and a little kid ran up to me and he's like, Santa, and he grabbed my leg. So, I mean, I guess that made it all worth it.
Wow. That's a toss up for me. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Jay in Azusa. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning.
Talking about the story where Santa in New Jersey got mauled by a bobcat. What happened? Were you a Santa?
Yeah, I was a mall Santa. I was actually I had joined the Navy and my recruiter got me a job at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And the job he gave me was mall Santa, and it was right outside a buffet that served alcohol.
But wait a minute! You went into the Navy and you ended up as a mall Santa?
Well, you know, delayed entry.
Oh,
delayed entry. So it's like they didn't want me to get in trouble. So
oh, I see.
Found something for me to do.
Wow. All right, so now you're a Santa right outside of a restaurant that serves alcohol.
Yeah, well, so I was kind of mauled by cougars. They would come out of the restaurant and come out and want to sit and get their picture taken, and they'd take advantage and molest me.
Is that right?
Oh, you were mauled by the human cougars. This isn't like the bobcat story. These were girls, women.
Yeah, they're scary ones. They'd sit in your lap, and they'd smoke and molest me.
Hey, honey, what's going on?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I love me some Santa. That is scary.
Yeah, and a couple of them, you know, sit there too long, and then I had a couple of them pee on me.
No,
really? You did
no.
not. You
yes,
didn't.
I did. Yes, I did.
It's ridiculous to think that they wouldn't, but no. Come on.
Like, you think at least they're not little kids, so I'm not going to get peed on, but then you end up getting peed on anyway. That's no good, dude. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to, we've got Bob on line nine on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Bob, welcome. You played a Santa?
Hey, guys.
No, I didn't play Santa. I just wanted to apologize to that Santa Claus that I bit.
Okay, it was an actual bobcat. Is this Bobcat Goldthwait? It wasn't you. We're not talking about you.
I know, but you guys were talking about bobcats, so I thought maybe I bit a guy.
You didn't. I don't. That we know of, you didn't bit anyone, bite anyone.
Sometimes I drink a lot, and I don't remember what I do.
You're off the hook, Bobcat. This time it wasn't you. You're not the bobcat in the news.
That's great.